Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Well, hey, and welcome to Friday. About a minute and a half past the hour, at least here, before the internet delay gets hold of things. I'm Bob. It's the end of the week. I'm feeling pretty doggone good. You know, a day like today here in the hills is living proof that we are indeed impacted and affected by our surroundings and our environment. Because I tell you what, you could not custom order a better, more beautiful day than what it is right now here in wild, wonderful West by God, Virginia, or what is left of it. It's a bluebird day. The sky is high. The sun isn't scorching. It's just pleasantly perfect. So much so that a little bit ago, before the show started, I reached into the humidor and I pulled out a cigar, and I just went outside the studio and sat down on the concrete stoop and fired it up. And just sat there, bathing, drinking it all in, feeling the sunlight warm on my shoulders, and appreciating just how good things are. Okay, I admit that the health crises of the last couple of months have sort of readjusted my view on things. Some days are better than others, but I tell you what, this one, were it not for the 1.3 vote of the Russian judge, this day would just about be a perfect 10. It is that pretty here. It is that beautiful. It is just that stunning. Makes you want to sit on the front porch of somewhere and say, bring me a cold, frothy, malted, fermented beverage. And son, do you have a bucket? Put several in the bucket, son. Put ice over the several in the bucket and scatter a little rock salt on the ice because we want them to stay real cold. And sitting there with folks that you enjoy being around, chewing the fat and chatting, carrying on, laughing a little bit, maybe somebody noodling around on the guitar, maybe there's an 8-string misery box there. All those things that I have tried to embody in the idea of what we put forward at one time as Front Porch Friday. Well, we have technical issues that prevent a full-on 2 or 3 or 4 caller Front Porch Friday, but we can still do something close to it, or try. You know, I can get a couple of calls on at the same time if you guys want to try that. And you're more than welcome to. It's a Yeah, Lottie in the chat room, one of our moderators, our intrepid moderators. I, too, am a fan of the Romeo y Julieta, especially the Cuban versions. But, yeah, they're a little pricey. I can't slip down to the Dominican Republic with a dummied-up Viagra script for an all-boys weekend, and I do mean all boys like Flush Flemball does, and sneak a few back in the golf bag. No, I can't do that yet, because, you know, formerly nicotine-stained. That addict hasn't quit anything. Come on. You know that. I haven't quit. No, I've got... This is something that has a candela wrapper, and it's an acquired taste, and a lot of people don't like these. A candela wrapper is the cigar that has the green wrapper around it, and it's green not because it's raw, but because of the way in which they are fermented and treated, and it's got skull popping qualities to it. This particular brand is a Cuba Aliados, and I think I got a box of them 1,000 years ago for, you know, $25 or something, but it's a hand roll and it's very nice, and it comes from the factory of Rolando Reyes Sr. And Rolando Reyes Sr. does not turn out a bad stick, even at $20 a box. God, hand rolled cigars are cheaper than cigarettes now. Imagine that, and a hell of a lot tastier and a hell of a lot more enjoyable. I tell you, it is though. It is a beer-drinking Friday. But we're not going to do that, because to the extent humanly possible, I do, unlike most right-wing radio people, if you ever bother to listen to them, I try not to do impaired radio. Although it might have been close on Tuesday. I was told I still sounded a little foggy. But I wasn't actively getting wrecked during the program, as compared to most right-wingers. So, anyway, it's a beautiful day here, and we've got 3 hours of wonderful conversation ahead of us. I hope you will avail yourself of the opportunity to chime in. Don't be a stranger. You know the phone number, 304-658-3333 on your nickel. If you need us to cover the freight, we'll be happy to do it at 877-443-2366, 877-4, and then HEADON if you like to spell on your telephone keypad. So, yeah, all options are open. Email rolls in to bob@headonradio.com. And I'm curious to see where you want the program to go this evening, because it would appear that what I am supposed to talk about, if I were taking my cues from the for-profit media, is to talk about John Edwards. So... I guess we can, but I tell you what, all right, I'll take the bait. We'll talk about John Edwards, because as far as I'm concerned, I've read the statement that John Edwards put out, and as far as I'm concerned, John Edwards manned up. John Edwards was as straight and as straightforward in his response to the allegations of his so-called sexual misconduct, which is something that I don't particularly believe in, where consenting adults are concerned. Notice the use of the phrase consenting adults. Sexual misconduct? What? But at any rate, what he did was he went out, as we would say around here in the hills and hollers, he went a-romping. He went a-romping. For all I know, he got loaded in a bar one night, and he drank somebody 12-pack Purdy. Suffice to say, John Edwards would not be the first person to ever do it. However, it is noteworthy, as Lottie brings up in the chat room. If you've never been to the chat room, by the way, you're missing a lot of good fun. Just go to headonradionetwork.com, log into the chat room, you know, choose a password, that kind of stuff. Bang, you're in. No fees, no costs. It's just there for your enjoyment and our enjoyment. I'm in there right now. It's a small crowd, but wandering in on a Friday. But on a Friday like this, how could I expect anybody? You get the idea. Unlike Ripig Lickens, he did man up. And unlike Repiglickens, it turns out that the other person involved in the tryst was actually an adult. Can't say the same for the Repiglicken party, for the most part. Not exactly. For instance, let's travel before we get into the heart and soul of John Edwards. Not that it here. Let me add, none of our business. Let's travel over to Jefferson City, Missouri. As a young man, I wandered down the little back roads that ran between Fulton, Missouri, and Jefferson City, Missouri, on a number of occasions. What a fun little ride. Dateline Jefferson City, Missouri. We'll be talking this evening about Missouri State Representative Repiglicken Scott Muschany. Muschany, if you want to use the Google and find him. You can find a link to the story over at the web, one of my favorite websites, probably in my top three, you get right down to it, WD40.com, WBYAD40.com. The boys over there, Clyde and Wally and Dookie, they don't miss much. And so there it is. Headline, State Rep Charged with Assaulting Teen. It's a story from the Jefferson City Post, from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, out of their Jefferson City Bureau, or Jeff City, as the locals like to refer to it, Jeff City. And it is the story of Representative Scott Muschany, state rep charged with assaulting teen. God, I hate buried leads. I hate bad journalism. The headline actually should read, Another Conservative Republican Charged with Assaulting Teen, because this is what they do. Case after case after case after case after case. Yep. Scott Muschany, who knows, is a good family values repiglicking. And he has been charged by the Cole County, Missouri grand jury with an offense called deviant sexual assault, a Class C felony. The victim is identified by initials. It says that on May the 17th, this past, right-wing family values defending, God-fearing, repig-licking, Scott Muschany got it on. The indictment doesn't say got it on. It says had deviant sexual intercourse with a 17-year-old. Muschany is 42. And frankly, but Your Honor, she told me she was 18. Don't cut it. Deviant sexual intercourse, I believe, is probably, given that it's listed as a Class C felony, it's what a lot of people would probably recognize in the old terminology as being statutory rape. In other words, having sex with an underage person who, by virtue of their age, is unable as a matter of law to consent to the sexual contact. But God Almighty, Cole County, Missouri must not think much of its citizenry, because they turned Scott Muschany loose on a $5,000 bond. That's it. $5,000. Statutory rape in Missouri. This is where the liberal infrastructure is not built yet. Because at this point in time, when you find out something like this, you need to do something like what our good buddy Loretta Nall did with regard to the circuit judge's son who got popped for drugs in Alabama. You need to survey what other similarly charged individuals are paying in the way of a bond themselves. Because I guarantee you, $5,000 bond is not what you get if you're not the right person being charged with statutory rape in Missouri. So let's see. The story says Ms. Cheney surprised many in political circles by announcing in late May that he was not running again this November. At the time, he said, oh dear, hold on. In late May, now remember, he raped the girl on May the 17th. He raped the girl on May the 17th, and in late May, he said he would not be running for re-election because he wanted to spend more time with his family. You can't beat, I'm not kidding, you can't beat that. How did they find out about Scott Mischeny's evil doing? It came from a call to the state's child abuse hotline. And it was referring to a possible case of second-degree child molestation. The report also, of the criminal investigation, also notes that alcohol was a factor. In other words, he got the girl, he got the underage girl liquored up, and then being a repiglickin', he had his repiglickin' way with her. Yeah, that's right, baby, and what you don't drink, we're going to pour on you. Mm-hmm. On June 2nd, Ms. Cheney was asked by a reporter if he wanted to hear the details in the police report, and he said, I'm not interested in any details. That's just crazy. There is no investigation. And then he didn't return any more phone calls. And then he didn't answer questions. And he started spending more time with his family. Yeah, okay. They're not letting the investigation report out for now because, you know, they're trying to protect the victim. No, no. It's as much about reporting, protecting Ms. Cheney, too. Yeah, you want a little more fun? This family values Repiglickin, who raped a 17-year-old. Was a registered foster parent with the Missouri Division of Family Services. He was co-sponsor in 2006 of legislation aimed at toughening up the laws on sex offenders, because he's a defender of family values. Repiglickins. Honest to God, would you leave your underage child? Would you leave any child alone with a repiglickin? I wouldn't leave him alone with a repiglickin male because I'd be afraid that he'd try to screw him. And I wouldn't leave him alone with a repiglickin female. For fear that she might, God only knows what, you know, Ann Coulter, Michelle Malkin, what would, mamas don't leave your babies alone with the repiglickins. Ain't no good gonna come of it any way you slice it. So I guess we will talk about John Edwards a little bit. But, we'll talk about John Edwards, but we will not talk about it at length, or we will not talk about it. I don't know. You can talk about it any way you want to, but I'm not going to criticize John Edwards over this, because when we get into the details, I think you'll find that John Edwards did everything right. See, there it is. John Edwards is a private citizen, and as such, don't you think it's inappropriate to be discussing his private life? Let's not do it, Bob, okay? Cindy. Hey, Cindy, he put the press release out, okay? I'm not castigating him for it. I think it's his business. I absolutely think it's his business. It's his private business. But you know what? That doesn't stop the right-wing smears that are going to be leveled against him. Do you think they care if he's a private citizen? See, this is how liberals get in trouble. They say, well, you know, he's a private citizen. We're not going to talk about it. Well, the right wing, but the right wing filth machine brutes it all over creation. And we liberals sit back and say, well, you know, he's a private citizen. We're not going to discuss it. So, in other words, we have ceded the field to the hate mongers. We've got to learn to fight back one of these days. And you fight, and you know what? Just because you don't like the fact that the bully is fighting with bullying tactics doesn't mean that you run away from the bully. No, no, no. No, no. No. You really do. You know, if they come at you kidney punching, you better be prepared to kick and scratch and gouge a little bit yourself. Because that is how Republicans are. Vile, nasty, hateful, and not to be trusted. Not in the least. Yeah, then there's Mr. Miss Cheney, Representative Miss Cheney of the Family Values, registered foster parent Miss Cheney. And what's he doing? Yeah, he's busted for rape. And you know what? I think we not only have a right to talk about that, we have a duty to talk about it as well. How could we not? So, I suppose one could... I suppose one could say that we shouldn't talk about John Edwards' situation, but John Edwards already put out the press release. And we need to understand that it is doggone well John Edwards' business. And we had better figure out a way to fight back against the right-wing filthmongers. So let's see. Let's see what's cooking here. Let's see if these are actually callers on the line. No, that one's not. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Ed.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Well, a little disappointed, but at least I still agree with his political views, and that's something Newt Gingrich had two strikes against him, and these other bunch of queers that are, like you said about the Republicans, they show up more often than what guys like Edwards did, and I still admire the guy for what he stood for.
I admire the guy for how he handled it.
Oh yeah,
that's my point here. John Edwards handled this in a stand-up way.
Yeah.
Because it turns out that what the National Enquirer was trying to publish was not true, and John Edwards said straight up. He said, "Oh, what is it here? Where is it?" He said 99% of it was untrue, but that's not enough. The fact of the matter is this happened 2 years ago. He dealt with it with his wife. They have obviously stayed together.
And that's all
all that matters.
That's all that counts with me is he straightened it out with his wife, and she apparently accepted it. Mine wouldn't, I know that, but that's... the difference in people, and there's a lot of people that are able to forgive past what other people are. But that's not the reason I called you. I want to find out if you know anything, because you don't get anything. All they do is run this stuff by on television underneath the news, pardon me, about Marines and soldiers being killed in a non-combat situation. What is going on? That's three in the last 2 weeks has been killed that's non-related to combat. Have you heard anything on that?
Are we talking about the electrocution stories?
I have no idea what the situation is that pertains to that I'm talking about. But they got in the news right now where two more Marines were killed to non-related combat duty over there in Iraq.
Well, look, there's one story out there that's particularly harrowing. I'm trying to remember the young woman's name. I can probably come up with it fairly quickly here. She was ruled by the Army to have been a suicide. And I'll have it just in a second here. Pardon the clicking and so forth. But it's a horrifying story, Ed. You know, there's been lots of non-combat related deaths over there. Not that the wingers want to talk about it. The electrocution stories where soldiers have been electrocuted by virtue of shoddy, you know, basically scab labor done by KBR and Halliburton. It's happened time and again. There's been, you know, three or four guys killed that way. And you, merciful God, the Bush administration just tries to, you know,
they brush over.
One
evening and then
sweep it under the rug.
That's the reason I ask you. This wasn't a woman that was electrocuted. This is two Marines.
No, these are men, yeah.
And then the last one about 3 weeks ago was another man. I haven't heard about the woman being electrocuted.
No, she wasn't electrocuted. She was ruled a suicide when it was obvious that she had been raped and murdered.
I'll be there. Our own people are doing that to each other over there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, those people shouldn't have a chance for a trial, Bob. That kind of...
I know exactly what you're getting
at. I can't, I won't use the language I'd like to, toward, people. But it's starting to make me wonder, that's two or three that's been killed in these different, army bases, for one reason or another. And I'm starting to wonder, if segregation between the men and the women.
No, that's not, no, I mean.
You don't think that's a good idea?
No. No, this isn't a function of, well, I mean, if we have to do that, then we have to admit that, our military are comprised of nothing but animals who can't control themselves.
Well, we have got a few in there. I mean, it dumbfounds me, this kind of stuff is going on between people that's supposed to be fighting together and not killing each other. And, you know, I guess you got nuts in there too, though. But, you didn't hear of that stuff going on when you had the waves and the whacks and stuff, and they were separated from the men. And there's stuff that goes on the news.
But in that period of time, you also didn't hear about it because it wasn't spoken of by the women because it was a brand of shame and a mark of shame, Ed. It was looked away from. And I'm going crazy here trying to find this young woman's name because it's heartbreaking. But I will come up with it. I don't believe sexual segregation is the answer. I believe better training is the answer. I believe, see, Iraq, when you take your military and you put your military into doing evil work, okay, you can take a perfectly good military and set it to doing evil work, and the evil will carry over into them, Ed.
Repeat that.
If you take an otherwise decent military and you set it about the task of doing evil, which is what we're doing in Iraq, it's evil.
Right.
The evil becomes what? It becomes contagious.
A dominant factor.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, just this week I heard where a lieutenant and had lied and was covering up for another soldier or Marine that had killed an innocent Iraqi.
Oh, there's been plenty of innocent Iraqis killed. Lots of them.
sir.
There's been lots of innocent Iraqis killed, somewhere up around a million of them. And not a one.
Yeah, I know it. But that, when you got the officers like that covering up, you know, and you know, it don't take word long to get around among the regular troops that, you know, you can do this stuff and get away with it.
Yeah, Private First Class Lavina Johnson. I was just reminded by a listener. Private First Class Lavina Johnson. It's a horrifying story. There's a cover. It's just, I mean, there's no way it was a suicide, but they, you know, the army tried to make it appear such. Let's see. July 2005, 19-year-old Johnson became the first female soldier from Missouri to die in Iraq. She was found, listen to Ed, she was found with a broken nose, a black eye, loose teeth, acid burns on her genitals, signs of rape, a trail of blood leading away from her tent, and a bullet hole in her head. All right? The United States Army ruled her death a suicide.
I'm sure she walked around bleeding, don't you?
Well, she could. The bullet hole was in the wrong place for her to have been able to shoot herself with her shooting hand. The exit wound was the wrong size to have come from a bullet from her own M16, which the Army said it did. To this day, the Army is covering up this murder. And insisting that Lavina Johnson killed herself when the Army deigns to say anything to her family.
Well, George Bush sent him over under those kind of conditions, and the Army has got to know that they're under false pretense, so they figure that anything goes after they've done that. I don't know. I just thought I'd check and see. It's very discouraging to hear that everything that you think should be honorable is nothing but a bunch of filth and dirt, and the stuff goes on. And you're right about the Republicans. You know, look at, I got into it a little bit with Steve one morning here, our local idiot.
Yeah.
And, after he put us off the air, he said, what's wrong with the world basically is people like Ed and Wayne are out there. And, you know, if he'd have left me on, I'd have told him, yeah, and 69% of the other people in this nation feel the same way. It's the Republicans and people like him that has got a closed mind. He started telling how good the economy was. Everything was upside to him. But when I started rattling off, he said, well, I'm cutting you off. And I told him, well, he doesn't cut Wayne off. Might as well. I didn't cut Wayne off. The way he does it, it don't sound like it. Just as soon as he can get a
Well, break. And that's why there is no percentage and no point and no purpose to call him that freak, okay?
I think I have given up on it. I've heard I've heard enough of him anyway, and I know that, you know, when I say he's got the dirty dozen, the same clowns, pure idiots, Bob.
Yeah, but see, frankly, Ed, as far as I'm concerned, this guy, and for the people, you know, the people far, far away from here have no idea who we're talking about. We're talking about the punk jackass by the name of Steve O'Brien, and he's dumber than your average right winger, wouldn't you agree, Ed?
I don't think he can make a dimple in a good one.
Well, I don't think there are any good ones, but I'm not.
Limbaugh.
Well, I'm not. I don't think there are any good right wingers, but I'm not. We won't go down that path.
Yeah.
But
well, I don't either.
He's truly pathetic. He has no talent, and you're right. He knows how to do is all that any right winger knows how to do, and that is just generally sleaze people who, you know, believe that, you know, working folks ought to have a chance in this country. But well, that's, you know, really, he's there's not that much difference between him and a big-time right-winger, because they're all, it's a question of how they do it. They're all screaming filth. Yeah. And none of them can actually hold their own in a conversation that they don't control. And see, that's why it's useless to call these freaks, because they control the knob that your audio's coming in over. They can overtalk you, they can overshout you, and they can cut you off in case you start making points against them. Yeah. It's a fruitless effort to try to debate a radio right winger, because they will not have an honest discussion.
Yeah. Well, and I agree, and that's exactly when I started making the points about George Bush, and he always falls about, well, Congress approved it. But the fact is, when you start making a good argument against all he says, that's when he cuts you off. And he had one guy, I'll show you what a suck-ass bunch they are. He had one guy on there, and he was just mediocre type of disagreement with him. And he said, now, Steve, I don't mean to disagree with you. You know, like he was somebody that was above being wrong or being disagreed with. And you talk, you know, he is a thoroughbred, you know, and I don't use the word delusionary loosely. Those people are absolutely, they're wired the wrong way. There's something, there's a malfunction in the brain. Because they, you know, they couldn't kiss butt like they do, and all you hear is A.T. Massey and about, you know, he's 100% company and against any worker, and but he's very contradictory to himself. You know, one time the government should step in and help with this and help with that, and the next time the government ought to stick their own business and run the military. And this time, you know, if you listen to him from week to week, he will contradict himself.
Well, week to week, minute to minute, hour to hour, that's what right-wing talk does. It's self-contradictory. In fact, I've got a lovely example of right-wing self-contradiction in the stacks this evening, if I get to it, Ed. And I think you'll get a big kick out of it. But look, I mean, I was never able to convince people I was never able to get through to people that they needed to just let Steve O'Brien twist in the wind, okay? Because when he's desperate and the phone's not ringing, he can't do a show. And that's when he resorts to reading the newspaper to the radio audience.
Yeah. Or I told Dreamy this morning, he spends 20% of his time rehashing what he went over in the last half an hour. He'll spend 5 minutes every half an hour going over what they've done been over, I guess trying to stir up conversation. And you're right. The minute that phone rings, he ain't like you are. He don't finish his conversation and then answer the phone. He'll answer immediately. He'll cut himself off because he's done run out of wind. But, you know, I'm going to tell you the truth. Somebody needs to stomp his ass. Maybe it would go to his head. It'd do some good anyway.
We don't want anybody stomped or hit or anything like that. No, I don't know. I don't want that. I don't want that poor freak martyred. He's not worth the time. He's not worth the time or the effort. Most right wingers are.
If he got up in my face that stuff, I guarantee you I'd set his teeth in the back of his head. And I don't want your friends to think like I do.
Being assaulted is one thing. But no, just leaving him alone and letting him die on the vine is the best vengeance. Because you cannot, with any right winger, I mean, for instance, people who get through to Flush Flimball don't know it. But that junkie, that junkie Limbaugh has 3 minutes worth of delay on his program, all right? Delay and time compression.
So he can turn you off, tune you out before.
People never even, he can stop people from coming on the show before people, and no one ever even know that there was someone there. That's how dishonest they are, Ed.
Well, Steve's done it now. I mean, he will answer and he'll make some kind of grumpy comment like, you know, and I figure it's guys like Jethro or somebody like that calling in because he's got so many seconds there to cut you off.
He's got 7 seconds.
Huh?
He's got 7 seconds, Ed.
Yeah.
That's the nature of the technology.
I know that there's still been people on that phone, and when he cuts them off, he don't give any explanation, like there's nobody there now. Or now, sometimes when somebody genuinely hung up, he'll say whoever it was hung up. But most of the time, when somebody calls that he does not want on the radio, he absolutely will not make a comment at all. He'll say, hello, you know, he gives that routine about
who's
calling.
I don't know how to put this, but Steve O'Brien is a no-talent bum in the fifth smallest radio market in America, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And for the life of me, I can't figure out why liberals and progressives won't just let him hang himself by his own petard.
Well, they want to think
because
what
when
that you're thinking, Bob.
Because when that man has no calls and he's reduced to reading the newspaper on the air, man, that's some lousy radio. And if he had to read the newspaper on the air 4 or 5 weeks running, he'd get disappeared real quick.
Yeah. Well, another thing would be picket lines against.
Ed. See, that's the thing. They love picket lines. All right. There's no such thing as bad publicity.
Yeah, well.
Because over there at that place, they love it when people call in and talk about how much they hate him. Because there's an old rule. If you love somebody in radio, you might listen an hour a day, but if you hate him, you'll listen two hours.
I usually don't even get up in time to listen to him. Sometimes I turn him on about 10:45, something like that. That's about all. And then I've told Dreamer, you know, when you pass there, turn that off. You know, he's so sickening on different issues. But I couldn't help call in after he cut Wayne off. And I don't mean to.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, he feeds on that. He knows right-wingers know that what they're doing, that kind of thing, conflict and controversy generates audience response.
Yeah, but I'd like to tell him that they talk about bringing you from out of ignorance into understanding. I was going to ask him how come that didn't apply to him, but he don't give you time to finish anything. Every time you really get on his toes, he cuts you off. And you can tell by the way he answers the phone to you that, and the other people are bound to be able to read it too, you know, it's you. You know, I mean, that you can tell it in his voice. And, I just like to tell him to his teeth one-on-one what a piece of crap he is. But I know I won't get that chance. Unless I went over there, and then I'd probably get arrested.
That's what I'm trying to get across, Ed. These people are less than dirt under your shoes. All right, and there's no percentage to be had in trying to argue with them or reason with them because they're right-wingers. They have no reason. They have no common sense. They have no ability to process information, all right? I mean, I can't be any plainer than that. We're talking about morons.
Yeah. Well, I know and agree with you completely. There's not enough of words in my vocabulary to describe how low their mentality is. It'd have to come up to a whale's belly, and that's the bottom of the sea. So I just don't have any, if they tell me they're Republican, the only time that I'll go up against one of them is if they start getting too loud and express their opinion in public. I'll put the skids to them there. I really don't care.
Well, I believe in not letting myself be run over. I'm addressing myself specifically to dealing with right-wingers in circumstances where you have no ability to make sure that the debate is open or that the discussion is honest. Okay? That's why I never advise liberals or progressives to call any right-wing radio program, because they control the terms of the debate. They can cut you off or whatever. And then the sleaziest thing they do is to sit there and talk about the caller after the caller's already gone.
Yeah. They're real good at that.
Yeah, they can't win the argument head to head, so they
always get the last word.
Sure.
Well, I know I call one of the national guys, and I got with him so much about George Bush lying. What did he lie about? I told him to start with about every time he opened his mouth, but I gave him a couple examples. He told me I had 30 seconds left, and he didn't give me 5 seconds.
Right, and then, and if nothing else, they'll start screaming just to overtalk you if you start making points.
Well,
yeah, I mean, let's say somebody, just by example, let's say somebody's got a craps game going, all right? Just a bunch of people shooting craps. And you know that the dice are loaded. Now, why would you get in that game? Let's say some people are sitting around playing poker, and you know that the deck is marked. Why would you take cards in that game? Well, that's what right-wing talk is, Ed. The dice are loaded, the cards are marked, there's a break on the roulette wheel, and it is impossible to have anything approaching a fair or honest outcome.
Right.
So, you know, whether it's you or anybody else, because, see, right-wingers are like that. They're not like me. I welcome discussion. I welcome conversation. But they don't. They are there to indoctrinate a crowd. And if someone goes off the beaten path or challenges their indoctrination points, then they will engage the loaded dice and the marked deck, and they will make sure that the playing field tilts in their favor, because they are dishonest.
Right. Well, I know that you have a pretty much, you'll accept about all calls until they get just absolutely obnoxious and ridiculous, or you will tell them you're going to cut them off, or I've only seen you cut two people off, and you should have done it way ahead of what you did, but I don't know why. You know, when I had that on there, you know, usually I'm in the house here 11 o'clock before I go out and start to work or do anything, and that's 11:30, and I've got that on, and when he done Wayne like that, that was the main reason I called him, was to...
Right, but he did that to generate a response because he knew it would generate a response. This isn't about, you know, for those people over there, it's not about discussion or dialogue, it's about driving people's blood pressure up. And that's the that's the case with the vast majority of right-wing radio.
Well, they do it. But that one guy, he lied right with everybody listening. He told me he'd give me 30 seconds to finish.
And then talked over you.
And then cut me off within 5 seconds. And then I call one station in Connecticut. My daughter got the number for me up there. She lives up there. And I called in on Joe Lieberman, and she said, we're not taking any calls on Joe Lieberman today.
Yeah, not surprising.
They wouldn't let me get on there on that scumbag.
Not surprising.
Yeah. Well.
Again, right-wingers always control the terms of their discussion because they are essentially dishonest, and they will not have an honest conversation.
Yeah. Well, that's like old McCain and Lieberman. When this election's over, McCain's going to feel a vacancy in his...
So, John, I don't care much about delving into John Edwards' private business, but I find it interesting that we have to have it, that we have to have this conversation, or not have to, but this conversation is being foisted on us by the for-profit media about John Edwards and the fling that he had, the one-night stand. And yet not a damn word, Ed, not a blessed word about the fact that John Sidney McCain III walked out on his first wife to go when his first wife was in extremis and needed his support as much as she had supported him when he was a prisoner of war. He walked out on her to go chasing after a hussy.
Yeah. Well, this is his third marriage anyway, ain't it?
No, it's his second.
Is it? Somebody told me it was his third. I didn't know. But you know what? When you watch him, he reminds you of that Edgar Bergen had on his knee.
No, Charlie McCarthy?
Charlie McCarthy.
Yeah.
That's what they remind me of. Get a bunch of tire gauges like he did. And Obama was making an honest-to-God assessment of how to increase a little bit of gas mileage or save. And overall, you know, I'm talking about nationwide,
Mention the fact that riding on properly inflated tires can actually save not only gas, but something that I find a little bit more valuable, and that is lives. But, you know, the pro-life Republicans, they have to make a joke about it because they're only pro-life if they think there's a vote in it for them.
Yeah, that really got me. And, you know, just to watch him talk is enough for me. I mean, he is just completely out. You know, there's nothing with any substance to him. I haven't heard him say anything. Now, I don't understand offshore drilling too much. If it was guaranteed that the companies would give total protection to the shelf, but you know that these companies don't do that. They're not gonna do it,
and it's not gonna make any difference, Ed. I mean, really, we're gonna drill offshore so we can have a little dribble of oil in 10 years?
Yeah.
We need solutions now, and those solutions now involve cutting back on our usage of oil and not increasing it, because Detroit has proven and the American consumer has proven that given cheap gasoline, we're not gonna try to make that gasoline go further. Look what happened the last time gasoline got cheap. Well, that's where the Hummer comes from, and that's where the Cadillac Escalade comes from, and that's where the Lincoln Navigator comes from. All these doggone automobiles that get, you know, 9 miles to the gallon.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit did that deliberately because the American public wanted great big behemoth vehicles, and they damn the future if they can't have it.
Well, let me tell you something else. That gas has reduced 1/6. I mean, oil. It's reduced to the amount of 1/6. Where in the heck is the reduction at the gas pump?
Ooh, I felt like I was getting a big old bargain the other day when I paid $4 a gallon.
Yeah, well, yeah, you got a bargain, all right.
Yeah, I'm being a smart aleck, Ed. You know that.
And over at Rainell, it was $3.89 3 weeks ago. So that's where we're at on gas.
Well, look, you know, that's the miracle of the free market. The free market is there to make sure that Exxon and the big oil companies get as much profit as they can right straight out of working people's wallets. That's the free market.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
you know, but the funny thing is, there's no competition in that market. It doesn't matter if I go to a Shell station or an Exxon station or any other BP, what have you. It don't matter. Price is the same.
Yeah. Well, they got a law that they got to stay within just a few pennies of each other. But how does Rainel get away with dropping theirs as much as they do? And other places in the state, too. I forget what they said, Huntington or somewhere down around Huntington. It was in the $3.92 or something like that when it was $4.04 here. How do they get away with that if this is supposed to be a state law?
Because they're crooks, all right? Sometimes the simple answers are the ones that actually make sense. Because, Ed, they're crooks.
Well,
isn't that sad? But it's true.
Yeah. I appreciate it. I know you're right on that jerk from.
Well, just remember, any time you're ever tempted to call that little crap weasel, that's the best I can do on a moment's notice. Just remember, the next time you're ever tempted to do that, just remember, you're doing exactly what he wants you to do.
Yeah.
And that'll hang like a bone in your throat, and you won't do it.
Yeah. Well, I guess when he jumped Wayne like he did, that got under my skin because I know. And then him to make a statement like, well, "That's what's wrong with the world. There's too many people like Wayne and Ed out there." And
Ooh, he sure got your goat, didn't he?
Huh?
He sure enough got your goat, didn't he? And guess what? He meant to.
Yeah.
You know, it's about
being up here and let somebody that knows something. I appreciate the information on those. The real reason that I called there.
No worries. I wish I knew more. But the stories have been out there for a while on the electrocutions and. And people have been trying to keep Lavina Johnson's story out there. She hasn't gotten nearly the publicity that Pat Tillman got. Of course, she wasn't an NFL star who went to fight. But, you know, Pat Tillman got murdered, and so did Lavina Johnson. And we can expect more.
I haven't heard anything about Johnson.
Yeah, we can expect more of the same.
I watch the news, you know, from 4 o'clock till 8.
I know.
I hadn't heard nothing about that.
I know.
So I don't know where to go to get some of the information that you do, unless I call you and ask you.
Well, that's the beauty. That's the beauty of the internet. So maybe one of these days we'll get you working on the internet, and then it'll almost. I don't know, Ed. I don't know what we'll do when we get you surfing the internet. You'll be an information machine.
I don't know about that.
Ed, you take care and have a good weekend. You want me to leave you on hold so you can listen?
All right, yeah. And tell everybody there I said hi.
All right. All right, I'll put you back on hold. You take care and say hi to Dreamer for us.
Okay, I sure will.
All right, bye now. It's our buddy Ed here in Fayette County. If you're on hold, please stay that way. We're going to take just a little brief break to sort of reorganize things. I'm going to pull back just a little bit, if you don't mind, for our musical interlude, because it is a lovely day here. It's a gorgeous day. And we'll let Tom T. Hall sort of add a little bit of the ambiance to a gorgeous Friday afternoon like this. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. I'm Bob, and we'll be back.
In some of my songs, I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind. And sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes you feel mellow.
Whiskey's too rough, champagne costs too much. Vodka puts my mouth in gear. This little refrain should help me explain. As a matter of fact, I like beer. My wife often frowns when we're out on the town, and I'm wearing a suit and a tie. She's sipping vermouth, and she thinks I'm uncouth when I yell as the waiter goes by. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes you feel mellow.
Whiskey's too rough, champagne costs too much. Vodka puts my mouth in gear. While this little refrain should help me explain, as a matter of fact, I like beer. Last night I dreamed that I passed from the scene, and I went to a place so sublime. All the water was clear and tasted like beer. Then they turned it all into wine. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes him feel mellow.
Whiskey's too rough, champagne costs too much, vodka puts my mouth in gear. All this little refrain should help me explain, as a matter of fact, I love beer.
Yes, he likes beer.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
You know, that song's almost as refreshing as the real thing itself. We may have, you know, it makes me wonder just listening to that, that verse about, and I went to a place so sublime. I wonder if Tom T. Hall could sort of retroactively be made a saint and perhaps even a prophet of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. Because after all, the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster says that when Flying Spaghetti Monster worshippers go to heaven, that their heaven consists of a stripper factory and a beer volcano. I think that may have been part of what Tom T. Hall was singing about. Everybody say Ramen. Ramen. All right, we will go straightway back to the phone. And I hope I've got my buttons straight here. It's not that it's too terribly confusing, it's just that I'm easily confused, even without the beer. So, you know, you'll have that. Hey, welcome to the program.
I heard the buzz. That must be me on the way. I'm on the air? Really? I'm on the air?
Caller, you're on the air.
This is me. Is this you?
It's
oh
me.
God.
Is that you?
You got the button there, this be Kate. Okay.
Yeah, I wait all night for calls like these.
I'm still about 2,100 miles west of Mount Belvoni.
Yeah, but I got plenty of Java and Chesterfield Kings. Yeah. And I don't feel like crying right now. I'm in a darn good mood.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm relieved that you're... I tried to shout over the fence the other day, but you had a bunch of callers in the queue, and I couldn't get in, so it always annoys me when I get a busy signal or whatever. So anyhow, anyway, I'm glad that you're feeling better, or that the doc didn't have to cut on you last week or this week or whatever.
Not to say that he ain't gonna, but it ain't gonna be any, you know, I got one more test I gotta pass.
Yeah, okay, well, study for it, huh?
Well, I don't know, you know, I don't know if you take a cheat sheet for this or what.
I don't know, it's like studying for a year and test, you know.
Apparently it involves doing shooters of barium.
Okay, yeah, not a bad deal. You've got to go out somehow.
Well, it's like Tom Kehall says, you know, whiskey's too rough, champagne costs too much, and vodka sets my mouth in gear. God only knows what the barium will do.
Did I just hear a tidbit of Tom T. Hall?
You sure did.
Nice bumper. I have to disconnect my phone here in order to get in, and so I never know what's going on the air or where I'm going to jump into the stream and muddy it up or whatever. A couple of things that I've been, this is not a Mad Max segment because I said last week I'm too tired of looking through all that mess, and then the question that Ed had about the soldiers, and then I didn't know about the woman who committed suicide. You know, that stuff's just so disheartening. My head explodes and I get kind of nuts and have to go somewhere else in my head. I'm glad that you didn't jump right into the Edwards thing. I didn't even know about that until I, you know, heard a little blurb while it
was. Well, I kind of did, but it was only by way of pointing out that I think he was a man about things.
Oh, yeah. And I just think anybody who can rant and rave about somebody else's personal life probably either has already done it themselves and feel guilty, or they got caught and they're still mad, or they want to do it and don't have the guts to do it, so whatever. So, and I just don't see the need to talk about anybody else's sex life. It's just, it would only mean, if I had to do that, it would mean that my life is too boring.
See, for me, it's, I don't want to talk about the sex part of it anyway. The sex stopped being particularly fascinating for me about, age 14, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember when I lost my virginity. I was alone at the time. I'll be here all week. Say it. Come on.
Only if the veal is Parmesan.
Try the veal. That's right. Try the veal.
Only if it's Parmesan with really good red sauce on it.
And don't forget to tip your waitress.
Always tip the wait person. Yeah, anyway, so I'm just glad. I just wanted to throw that out. I don't understand the cultural obsession.
Well, it's all driven, Kate, by the right-wing religion industry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's driven, if you want to dig a little deeper, and this isn't the Edwards story itself, this is much more of a cultural thing. It is driven by our puritanical culture that is scared to death that somebody's actually going to like having sex, when everybody likes having sex.
That's what I just said. People who rant and rave about other people's infidelity, they've either done it, they want to do it, or they're going to do it, or they're doing it now and haven't got caught, or, you know, whatever.
The classic frame of reference for me is the beautiful skit from Monty Python with the, your wife, does she go, does she, eh? Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, nudge as good as a wink to a blonde man, sign him all. And Eric Idle does that whole bit, and he goes on and on and on with it. Terry Jones plays the opposite in that one. And finally says, what is it you're trying to get at? Well, and finally Eric Idle, you know, just gets to the heart of it. Well, have you had sex? Your wife, does she have sex? And he goes, well, yes, of course. And finally Eric Idle says, the punchline, of course, what's it like? And that is the right wing in a nutshell. The only sex that they can have involves unconsenting people or people that you can't see between the stalls of the restroom, occasionally dead bodies, and they're absolutely fascinated by the idea that there are people out there with healthy libidos and healthy sex lives.
Mm-hmm. So that's what makes the whole subject so boring. And we've just done 5 minutes on it, so. Anyway.
But we didn't make it boring.
God, nobody could ever accuse me of being boring. I don't think you either.
Well, thanks for getting me in on your coattails. I appreciate it.
Oh, God, I haven't worn a coat for so long, I didn't even know what the reference was.
Stopped wearing coats about the same time you quit wearing dresses, didn't you? Otherwise, you'd have the thing up over, both of them up over your head running screaming around the room.
Right, that's right. That's what's missing. I should get back into wearing dresses. Well, that's funny. Something that I've been hearing this,
I mean, they make dresses with, like, carpenter hammer loops and stuff on them, don't they? I mean.
Yeah, I guess.
Hey, it's Friday. You got to let me have a little fun, Kate.
if I, what was it Spike said? He's using up all of his one-liners because his tomato plants are
Yeah.
Crazy ring or something. I don't know. I just kind of walked by the computer and heard that and thought, what did you say? I wish I had a repeat on this thing. Like a TiVo this thing or whatever that means. I hear people using that phrase. Ever since this whole non-election thing has been going on and people are ranting and raving about, we got to get a Democrat and we got to get a Democratic House and Democratic Congress, you know, the Senate and the House, we got to have a Democratic president. Just leads me to believe that people don't understand the three branches of government and checks and balances. And if we had a Democratic House and Senate and a Republican president and the Supreme Court, you know, the Supremes in their black dresses are pretty much out of the question. But what, you know, people don't understand when they say we need to have a Democratic House, I mean, it's Congress and a Democratic president, that means there's no checks and balances. Checks and balance. And I'm so frustrated with the fact that people don't understand civics or how the government works. And evidently, I got a little piece of, I don't have satellite radio out here. My KPHX in Phoenix goes off of the air at sunset at 7:15. Malloy just goes, bleh. Big, big storm last night. Couldn't listen to Peter. You know, I'm just kind of sitting here going, oh, well, I guess I should read a book. I guess people are starting to get really ugly with Malloy, too, because he's saying things like,
let McCain have the White House and get a Democratic Congress, and yeah.
He didn't say that.
Okay, well, that's what was reported. So yeah.
Yeah, well, see, that's the point. The whole, it's like the whole consciousness, the global consciousness is going crazy. People are hearing one little thing, and then they're reporting other big old things, and it's all over the web. And just to validate that point, I don't want to even go into what the links are, but since June or July, there have been massive amounts of beheadings and body mutilations. More so, you know, like the bus passenger in Canada.
Yes.
I mean, all over the planet. Somebody went to the trouble of pulling up links to that, and she made this big, long list of people, this head getting cut off, that one, and then the guy carrying the water. I mean, she titled it, Are We Losing Our Heads? I mean, what tells me is, yeah, we are. And the consciousness of the planet is just, it's August. And it's August 08, and there's a big cosmos problem. There's the sun and the planets and the stars and the moon and it's just crazy out here. And so people aren't careful about how they're listening, how they're talking, what they're saying. People are abrupt and short and angry and rageful. Where was it that the cop got shot in the parking lot by the road rage, by the person that he got in the little set to? Was it in Florida or something? On the post office parking lot, gotten a little.
Yeah, I saw something about that, but I didn't.
In the parking lot.
I didn't stay for the particulars. Some of the stuff just it gets so psychically heavy that, you know.
It's all over, and so I would just advise people to just take a deep breath and remember that there's something in the cosmos that's just really creepy and really shaky and. Lots of the Europeans are now stepping up against Iran and putting sanctions on them because they won't neutralize their whatever. So it means
They won't stop doing what they're not doing in the first place.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen that. I've been to that movie.
I walked by and heard that, and I said, "What? What? Who's gotten to the EU?" I mean, it's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And
well, look, Russia basically invaded Georgia today.
Yes, yeah.
Over a breakaway province called South Ossetia or Ossetia.
Yeah, I didn't catch.
I know there's a caviar named after it. There's Ossetian caviar. Yeah, everything's a food reference with me. I'm so shallow. No, it ain't food porn for me because I'm a long way from ever wanting any caviar.
Oh God!
You know, and I mean,
I've cleaned too many fish along the creek. I'm not really interested in
eating. Well, and see, for me, I mean, that's like, you know, I love sushi and stuff, but when we get down to the and you know, do you want the salmon? No, hold the salmon roe.
I want you to cut the head off, please. Yeah, I'm not a big, I'm not a big, and, yeah, anyway, the ambassador from Georgia was going on and on about, the Russians are no match for us, and I thought, oh God, stop it. It's just.
Well, you know, our buddy Eugene Finnerman, the, sharpest satirist on the internet, has a beautiful, a really informative little history lesson today regarding Georgia.
Oh, okay.
And, some, as, you know, how did Georgia get to be Georgia?
Mm-hmm.
And it's absolutely. Pardon?
You're going to tell us, right?
Well, why not?
Okay.
Because it's quite. It's interesting insofar as it's not what they call themselves.
I'm just saying, save me from having to go to.
Yeah. A Georgian calls himself a Sakartvelian.
Mm-hmm.
Sakartvelo being, not a Sakartvelo. He and Eugene says at FinnermanWorks.com, he and everyone from his native region called themselves Kartvelebi, the inhabitants of Sarkartvelo. And this is the fascinating part. The real name of the alleged Georgia refers to the legendary figure Kartlos, the father of this misnomered people, Eugene says.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, how did the Kartvelebi descendants become confused with the Dukes of Hazzard? He said, I know this sounds way too easy, but blame the Arabs. And it's true. He says the Arabs' attempts to conquer the mountainous territory proved more difficult than they anticipated. Not everyone was as effete as a Byzantine or as incompetent as a Persian. So in begrudging respect, when the Arabs backed out, they called the region Land of Warriors. In other words, Gurdjistan. And of course it got transliterated into Georgia. The Russians then transliterated it into it as Grutsia, and it stuck. But for the life of me, I just can't imagine that Kartvelebi on my mind is ever going to be a hot smash.
The Arabs found out they couldn't get in, they couldn't find a gear out of getting out of Georgia overdrive. They missed a gear.
Well, what I find fascinating is Land of the Warriors. It's another case of flatlanders going in and trying to invade the land of a bunch of hill people, hillbillies,
mm-hmm.
and getting their asses handed to them.
Mm-hmm. Well,
the Georgians are hillbillies. The Afghanis are hillbillies.
Mm-hmm.
The Swiss are hillbillies, and if you try to encroach upon Swiss borders, they will gladly hand you your ass.
Oh yes, and your head and other various parts.
Yeah. So.
So the term, the terms we have and we laugh about, like things like Georgia Overdrive, that's just a cultural racial slur, and a cultural slur. And I had to just chuckle that the Arabs got in over their heads and. They got into Georgia Overdrive and couldn't find a gear to get out, get back up the hill. Damn.
Well, if you can't find them, grind them.
Get off that clutch. Double clutch.
You're going to burn that clutch up. I remember trying to help Agnes learn to drive a stick.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, you're working that clutch on the uphill and... Yeah, honey, you're gonna burn that. Honey, you're gonna burn that clutch up. You want to drive?
You did that all before you were married.
Oh no! We pick at each other to this day.
Oh, I was gonna say, and she married you anyway after you taught her to drive a stick. Oh dear, that should have brought out all of your character defects and your major glaring flaws and everything, and she would have just run back to the holler. I'm not marrying this guy. Anyway.
You know, I'm wondering if the Russian general in charge of this attack on Georgia is named Sherman Arian.
Yeah, and we're messing in it, and
oh yeah, we don't have the common sense to keep our noses out of it.
Because Russia's burning up the phone lines in Russian, and and Putin and Bush are sitting there at the debacle in China, and they're doing their it's all about the oil and the pipeline that's coming down out of Georgia.
Durn tootin'.
Yeah, it's all about, it's always about oil. Also, I listen to I guess Preston could probably, if I'd get off the phone, he could call. I'm listening to a lot of, the overnight program out of KOA Denver, and a lot of people are talking about, the upcoming, big circus, and people are really uneasy. If people are getting their information from CNN and all the glossy, shiny talking heads, they're not hearing what people are saying overnight when they call in the middle of the night because they can't sleep or they've got information about their cousin's a security guard and, oh my God, there aren't going to be enough porta potties out in the campground, out in that city park and, it's going to be a mess and the Recreate 68 people are, they've been co-opted and there's going to be.
Well, they've signed an agreement that promised they won't fling no poopy.
It's against the law. I think the city council and the mayor had made a whatever the word is. They
sort of gives a whole new meaning to hell no, we won't go, doesn't it?
You don't put up porta potties if I can't crap in the plastic bag. What do you want me to do? Yeah, right.
Hell no, I won't go.
Oh, God. Well, this is sufficiently degraded into something where we didn't even want to go here in the beginning.
Like you didn't expect me to do that? It's Friday.
So it's we've been doing this too long. I'm going to step out and let other people got places to go and things to do. So I just wanted to call in and say hey, and there was something else I wanted to cover, but I forget what the heck it was. And so anyway, I'm going to get on out of here, and I'm glad that you're feeling fine and you're doing well. And I'm presuming
just keeping fingers crossed, and meeting the surgeon and figuring out that actually seeing the guy walk in and realizing that his both hands were not comprised entirely of thumbs was very reassuring.
And he's a Mountaineers.
Right.
Oh, that was so endearing. I thought, oh.
Oh, I'm so, like I said, I'm so shallow.
Roll my eyes. You're right. You are so shallow.
Yeah, but honest to God, Kate, if I'd walked in there and he was wearing a Go Pit shirt, I would have turned around and walked out.
I understand that. Yes, I understand that. I'm trying to think of some comparisons, and we don't want to go there either.
But it's not just me. I mean, you go ask a diehard fan of the University of Tennessee Volunteers whether he'd let somebody from the University of Alabama work on him.
Oh, I wouldn't even need to ask.
I can tell you right here and right now that if Guy James was laying on a gurney waiting for relief and the guy mm-hmm. walked up with a Michigan sweatshirt on, Guy James mm-hmm. would look up and say, "That's all right, I'll just die."
And I know them Tennesseans are weird. They are not even diehard. They aren't even dyed in the wool. They are just like way major league. Listen, I know what it was I wanted to call out early. I got a phone call last night, even in the middle of a humongous 50-mile-an-hour wind, sideways rain, 360-degree cloud-to-ground lightning. It was wonderful here. The phone rang, and I thought, oh, well, hell, I'll just answer it. It was a lady doing a survey. Well, and I thought, oh, shit, I'll go play. She didn't have my zip code in her survey database. And I said, 239. It's 239. She said, no, there's no, it's 239. Lady, it's 239. Well, somebody else said that, and I thought it was just an error in the, I said, no, I live so far out in the desert that my post office is just barely in my zip code. So I'm 239. So anyway, just for grins, what was it going to be about? We talked for a few minutes, and she was from the local, taking a survey for this county for the power company, the provider. And I said, you're talking about whether or not I think we should have alternative power in Arizona, like solar and wind. And yeah. I said, no, you don't even want. Well, it's about a 10-minute survey. I said, no, I have about 35 minutes to do on that. The Gila Bend solar farm that we're going to do, we can't do that. It'll cost $54 billion. I said, that's just 20 miles from my house. We don't even go. Well, what I hung up, she was on her way to Coal Mountain, the mountaintop removal website. to get the DVD, to give it to her mother who's in the Smoky Mountains, who she's, and we talked about, and I got the line in, every time you leave a light on, you're burning another chunk of coal from the mountaintops of West Virginia that's dumping the water into the fill behind the dam that's sitting above the children in the school who's got, who have bleeding kidneys whose parents can't breathe. Oh dear. And I got that in three times.
Had a girl.
I was so proud.
You should be. That's, you know, that's where change comes from.
I'm telling you. She said, no. You know, she said, I asked people, where do you get your information from? And they say, oh, MSNBC. I said, no. Even the Internet you can't trust. But I know these people from Mountaintop Removal. Go there. Pass that word around. You're interested in power. You're interested in alternatives. You're interested in where people can get more information about what they, and I didn't even tell her to go to your map and show where you're getting your power from. It's from coal. I didn't even want to go there because she was way past time. She needed to hang up and get on to the next person so she could make money. But I kept her on until I made sure that she understood that if she'd get a DVD, and I wasn't sure if they were free or not, but I said you can get it for minimal or a donation or something, and then that they encourage you to burn copies of it and pass it around. Because nobody, you and I are both concerned that people don't know where, children don't know anything, adults don't know anything. She said, I'm amazed when I talk to people, they don't know anything. And I thought, well, welcome to the world, sister. So anyway, I did my good deed for the day. I can't afford to go and do a donation to them, but I did maybe get two or three more customers, on more hits on their webpage. So there you go. So anyway, that's, I'm glad that...
Everyone counts, and you never know... which drop into the stream will be the one that creates the deluge.
Mm-hmm. And I reminded her, you're downhill from that dam bursting. We're all downhill from the pollution and the mess. You're downhill. You're on the downhill side. You're on the downwind side.
Everybody downwind, everybody downstream.
Mm-hmm. Everybody out of the pool. Anyway, okay, speaking of pools, I'm out of here. Wish I had one, but I don't, so... y'all take care.
That's because you're in the desert.
I guess, yeah, people have pools here, but I don't know why. I don't know why.
You know, I'm sorry. If no matter what a convenience it would be, if I lived in the desert, I couldn't morally bring myself to have a swimming pool. I just couldn't.
I can't leave the water running when I'm brushing my teeth because we have a 460-foot well here on the place where I live during the summer. And it's been grandfathered in, and so it's been, and they have it tested in a few years and stuff, and it tastes funny, and it's a lot of minerals and stuff. But the water that gets wasted, not.
Okay, you want? Okay, I know you want to ring off, but I gotta dip a toe into this stream too, just for a second.
Well, I get the point. Let me just finish that sentence.
Yeah.
Just never know when the well's gonna go dry. Also, you don't know at what level. The Parkinson's disease around here is horrendous, the incidence of Parkinson's and strokes. You don't know how much of the pesticides and the herbicides and the pollution from the agriculture and the feedlots around here are going into the water table that are polluting the well. And
there's that, but don't forget about heavy metals, too. You're in Arizona, Kate. How long they've been mining silver and gold and copper and God knows what else? And guess what? Those heavy metals leach, and those heavy metals go into the water table wherever it may be, and it don't come out.
And the lower the water table, the more concentrated it is. But I can't even with good conscience. I was having to water the garden, and I would just use probably like 5 or 6 gallon just to bury, sprinkle, you know, enough to keep them alive, the basil and the Swiss chard. But I just can't waste the water because we don't know what day that well's going to drop below 460 feet and we're going to have a dry hole. We just don't know. And people just waste water, and I think the millions and billions of people on the planet who do not have clean water today to drink.
Yeah, sure.
Just makes me irritated.
And I think back to that marvelous, you know, everybody knows that I grew up reading a whole bunch of Robert A. Heinlein.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And there's that marvelous book.
I haven't grown up yet, but
yeah, there's that whole, me neither. There's that the wonderful book called The Moon is a Harsh Mistress.
Oh, yeah.
And he gives this very viable picture of a civilization, a series of colonies on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he describes water and water usage and water recycling, you know, I first read that when I was 10, 11, 12 years old, and I've reread it a dozen times since.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, I've never been able to open the faucet.
Mm-mm.
The same way since.
Mm-mm.
And when I see water that just goes down the drain and mm-hmm. goes nowhere, you know, goes into our septic system and goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's our weekly Doom reference. What about when they would catch the drippy, the condensate on the?
Sure.
On the, that, I hear you and somebody else making a Dune reference once in a while, and I think.
Yeah, that's Albert.
I gotta get back, and I gotta reread that book because I can't get that visual out of my head about.
Fear is the mind killer.
Hmm?
Fear is the mind killer.
Well.
That's the line from Dune that Albert is so fond of.
Okay. Well, what gets me out of Dune is the catching the condensate. Every morning, and it's so life-giving, and if they didn't have it, they'd die, and I just have that. I guess I need to, now that I've spoken it into the universe, I need to go find the book and reread it again, huh? Thanks to you and Albert. Yeah, but we can't waste the water. I mean, we can. We're going, it's all in the shitter anyway, so all we got to do is just lighten up the corner where we're at and love the one we're with and do what we need to do and get on through the day, because there's nothing going to save us now.
Yeah, but remember, that John Edwards, he's a liar.
You had to just bump me out with that Edwards crap. Just stick it in your ear, radio boy. I'm.
You see why it's such a joy to do this, Kate? Because I don't have to do that kind of stuff, and I can only bring it up solely as a back reference toward how ignorant and stupid and annoying right-wing radio is.
Well, I guess they are. I don't go there, so I take your word for it. I just have to believe what you and Ed say. I'd love to get into it with old Steve, though. You say he's, I'd just love to get into it with old Steve.
you really, really want to?
Sure.
I don't know if he knows how to make the streamer work, but, you know, they used to stream his show, so.
Oh, no, I just want to take the boy on head-to-head, face-to-face over a cup of coffee. Just have him for lunch.
He'd be so scared of you.
Just eat his lunch and don't even ask permission to get in the bag, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's hilarious. Right after I went over to that AM radio station once upon a time, the folks down at Cold River Mountain Watch sleezing them and sliming them every day, and they invited him to come down to the office, and he came back with this breathless report of how these scary, scary women had assaulted him and made him fear for his life.
I bet the boy don't even know what an assault is.
It's sitting right next to a pepper.
He wouldn't know it if he saw it. Anyway.
No, let's see. No, he was scared. He was scared to death of Judy Bonds, and just mm-hmm. about plumb wet himself over Nanette. And mm-hmm. and we all, you know Nanette. She's in the chat room.
I would. If Nanette ever got into my stuff, I'd wet myself, that's for damn sure.
Well, there's a point in that, too, but the thing is, they hadn't even worked up a good pissed off yet.
Yeah.
But he put his gas guzzler in drive, and, I mean, he floored it all. Well, you can't really do that on West Virginia Route 3. But to the extent, he went as fast as he could back to the safe confines of Beckley. And talked about the mean environmentalists that had done scared him. Straight bowled. Yeah.
Gotta watch them mountain women. Mm-mm-mm. Oh, my goodness.
mountain folk, but you know.
It's the mountain women you gotta watch out for.
Yes, you do.
Especially when you're trying to take their mountain.
Don't cross them.
That's a nice note to leave on. I'm just gonna move on over and let somebody else walk on in later.
All right, you take care, Kate.
Thanks for taking the call. Bye.
I wait all night for calls like these. Bye now. Until the light comes through, until the sun comes through the skylight. Yeah. You guys know what I'm referring to. I don't have to explain it. Let's do keep with our running theme. We'll take a little break. If you want to chime in, feel more than welcome to do so. Let's stay with our beer on a Friday theme. What do you say? I like the idea. We'll go with a little something from Johnny Paycheck this time. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. 304-658-3333 is the number. We'll be back.
15 beers. That's a whole lot of brew in one night. When you cry. Long red hair. Well, at 9:35, I thought Anna lied. What could be holding her up? Just then, a man in a long black Cadillac came in and told little Joe, Deborah, while he was cleaning off the windows, guess who he saw? In the back of the head, soft as rain. It was Delilah, sipping on pink champagne. Drank 15 beers. That's a whole lot of blues for one man. When you're trying to drown the memory from your mind, it took 15 beers to forget you. I don't know how many more to just feel while he holds Delilah near. I drank my 15 beers. I drank 15 beers. One night, when you're trying to drown a memory from your mind, it took me 15 beers to get here. I don't know how many more till I leave. I'll take my change in tears and drink my 15 beers. My 15 beers. How many of you? 6 or 7? 15 beers.
Hot diggity. Yeah, you know, can't do it. I can at least think about it. So it is a Friday, this is the only live programming on the Head On Radio Network this evening. So, you know, get your dose of conversation radio while you can, because the weekend's on the way. Another wonderful weekend, by the way. We will, of course, have the Rick Smith Show this weekend. We will have for you Rick's Place with horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner. We'll also have for you another exquisite 3 hours of musical interlude with Billy Shears and Night Sounds coming your way. It all starts about 5 p.m. Saturday evening Eastern Time, 2 p.m. in the afternoon Pacific, and it rolls through all weekend long. If you don't catch it the first time through, it'll come around again, I promise. Night Sounds, of course, coming your way at 9 p.m. Eastern Time Saturday evening. You don't want to miss it. It's a good party in the chat room. If you want to wander on by, head on radionetwork.com, just click on chat room and bang, you right there. And, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that, yes, in fact, when you get to headonradionetwork.com, the way that we manage to stay on the air is right there. There's a couple little PayPal buttons, and you can do with it as you please, and stand shoulder to shoulder with us if you are so inclined to help keep conversation radio on the air. Well, George is over, dear leader, our empty-headed president, is over in China, giving the tacit approval of the United States to the human rights abuses that the Chinese commit. But he also found time today to dedicate the new $434 million U.S. embassy in Beijing. He remarked that the embassy represents what he called a solid foundation underpinning for the relationship between China and the United States, and that it's a commitment to strengthen that foundation for years to come. So he was at the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games, and then he attended the dedication. His creepy old father finally made it to China after sniping about people being too mean to China earlier. Yeah, he went to the dedication of the embassy with the creepy old Poppy Bush. Of course, Poppy Bush was instrumental in the beginnings of what would eventually be the sellout of the entire American economy to the People's Republic of China. Not that the wing nuts are getting too upset about that these days, seeing as how it was a right-wing, supposedly anti-communist president who did the selling out. Yeah, no, it wouldn't. So, you know, it's just another happy day, for George Bush as he kowtows to the Chinese. Of course, the Chinese already told George Bush to piss off after George stood there in Thailand. Oh, by the way, I finally found out why he went to Thailand. He was picking up some shirts. No, I'm not kidding. The Bush family is so cheap, so unutterably cheap, that they go to Thailand and order dress shirts from apparently a very, very good tailor in Bangkok that the Bushes have been doing business with for a while. $150 for, I think, 5 shirts, hand-tailored in Bangkok. How about that? Because bear in mind, if some Democrat, or God knows if Barack Obama did something like that, there would be news stories all over the wires saying, why is Obama doing business with foreign tailors? Why can't he get his shirts made in America? Well, there's one reason for that, and it's, you know, we don't do a lot of shirt making in America anymore because things like NAFTA and GATT and CAFTA and RAFTA and SHAFTA and PAFTA and LAFTA and have pretty much done that in. But yeah, $150. You know, look, give the guy 2 C notes and tell him to keep the change, George, you cheap twit. Hand-tailored shirts for $150 for 5 of them. And he can't. You know, I bet that dirty little son of a bitch doesn't even tip at all. But anyway, so he actually went to pick up his shirts in Bangkok, but he stopped to deliver an address about Chinese abuses of human rights. Not because, you know, he's a chicken crap weasel, George is, and he didn't have the guts to say it standing on the ground in China. But nonetheless, China's not chicken. They responded to his speech by telling him to shut the hell up. Foreign Ministry spokesman Qin Gang said China and the United States have divergent views on human rights and religious issues. They're not that divergent. They're really not. Freedom of speech? What freedom of speech? Why, we have special words, dirty, dirty words that you can't say on the air. For the sake of the children. Yeah, even when George Bush uses dirty words in public, newspapers won't print the dirty words. Yeah, some free press. Some free media. Religious issues? Well, yeah, you're free to have your own religion as long as it agrees with what the right wing in this country thinks your religion ought to be. Lord God, look at the hissy they're having in Shovelville, Tennessee over the fact that some, that 250 Somali workers are actually going to get their religion's holiest day off as a part of the union's collective bargaining agreement. Oh, Lord God, we covered this on the, horn section the other evening, and the comments on the story over at, the American Family Association's website are just hair-curlingly hateful. I mean, amazing. The Declaration of Independence for America mentions God, our Creator, and Providence. The state constitutions of all 50 states mention God. There's no mention of Allah. Tyson, learn your true American history, not the censored versions today's public schools teach. And you will know the facts. American legislature was modeled after biblical principles. Freedom of the Christian religion was emphasized. Freedom to choose to be a Baptist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian. Not no damn Muslim. I am outraged at the fact that American companies are catering to the wants of other religions. Wake up, people. Did we forget it was the Muslim terrorists that killed thousands of people on September 11th? This is what happens when you demand tolerance. This is just a taste of what is to come. The media always use the term terrorist to describe those violent events. In fact, the perps are normally Muslim, and the act is not terrorism. It's jihad! On and on and on. I love this one. The union also seems to be at fault if they voted the contract in, except if they have a Muslim majority, in which case it was unavoidable. Still, why does it have to be a paid holiday anyway when Ramadan is a religious holiday and Labor Day is a national civic holiday, huh? See, they gave up Labor Day in order to give their Muslim union members the Muslim holy day of Eid, which is the feast, I suppose, that ends Ramadan or something like that. Right? Okay? So all these wingnuts are out there having a purple polka-dotted blue screaming hissy and kittens with crocheted tails over something that's none of their damn business in the first place. All the while failing to note the fact that the union workers also get, wait for it, this is too good, Christmas Day off as a paid holiday. And they're crying about the highest holy day of Islam being a paid holiday for the union workers there. It's too good. It's just too good. You can't make this stuff up. Tyson does not have the right to play up to Muslims like this. This America and we are Christian nations. Yeah, that's right. America is nations. If Tyson and the Muslims cannot understand, they all need to get out of America. I see Tyson as another anti-American company who needs to leave. Where will we get our hormonally injected chicken then, though, wingnut? And if we said something about those union workers getting Christmas as a paid holiday, you'd say that we were waging war on Christmas now, wouldn't you, freakazoid? Oh, it goes on. The wingnuts, I mean, are pissed about this. Not a little bit, a whole bunch. This is just... So the contract only affects 1,000 of the 1,200 workers? Why cater to 200 workers? And why replace American values and traditions for a few who are not American and never will be? There's Somalis who came over here because they couldn't live in their own homeland after the war that George Bush the first started over there. Yeah, really, not kidding. Okay, off to the phones. Let's see what's shaking here. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, brother.
Hey, what's up, Albert?
What the hell? Who opened the door and left it open to the time continuum? Because now we're in a totally different universe.
I know. Who left the time traveling door open and let the ninth century sneak in?
What the hell has gone on? I mean, I went to sleep last night. I wake up and my brother tells me, because you know I don't watch television, he's telling me about all of a sudden now Hillary's going to the convention.
Okay.
And he heard this apparently on Fox.
And Bill's going to speak there. Okay.
No, I mean, like, she wants to be a write-in or something. That's at least what he got from...
Oh, I'm sure that that's the way Fox is trying to paint it, because they're part of Operation Chaos.
That's what I heard, and, you know, I mean, I heard it. I was like, oh, Fox, because I know he don't pay for TV. He gets it over the air. And I kind of was like, well, you know what? It's Fox, so I'm not even going to get that upset about it. Because, you know, if you got upset about every time they lied about something, then, you know, I'd have no arteries left. I mean, and, you know, I totally understand and hear. I mean, just got done. I just got back from outside, and I'm just going to stay in my happy little house from now on because, man, listening to that radio is one of the most nauseating things. Yeah, I mean, they're literally even giving McCain, like, some sort of credence of common sense and then just giving him the benefit of the doubt that he's not a gibbering maniac. I just, you know, I'm hearing people come out and call up and say they're liberal and they just can't vote for him because of his national security. National security?
Yeah, because the guy who wrecked five jets and burned up the forest all, he's got that national security thing right down pat.
What are they talking about, national security? What does that come into play? What do you mean? I mean, what are you worried about? Somebody's going to attack us and Barack's just going to lay down?
Yeah.
How does that make any sense?
Oh, well, it's a bad day to defend America. Guess we'll wait till tomorrow. Somebody get me a beer.
Telling you, Bob, this election may very well drive me to heroin.
A fact for which you'll be eternally grateful to finish up the W.C. Fields line? Yeah.
I mean, I'm serious. I was hopeful. And now all of a sudden, you know, I don't know, Barack needs to get out. Well, you know, and I got to just, you know, seriously, what the hell is wrong with John Edwards? What's wrong with him?
Well, on which front? For coming out and admitting it or just...
Fine. No, yeah, well, you know, it's better to always face the music that when you did something than try to Larry Craig it. But honestly, I mean, I don't understand this. I mean, isn't this common sense, Bob Kincaid? Well, I mean, any man who sleeps with a woman, okay, next to them, that is their wife, and men always sleep deeper than women usually. It's just a stupid little silly thing to wind up doing. I mean, anybody who's seen Goodfellas knows that.
Good call on your part.
Thanks, brother. I mean, seriously, it's one of the first things I think of. And then, you know, what happened with Bobbitt. But anyway, seriously, why would you, A, do that, number one, on Agnes or any on me on my Renee or anybody out there? I mean, period. And if you're going to do it, just say, I'm done, you know, whatever, and move on. That's just my take on it.
Well, that's why, okay, and I've already been chastised for getting into this twice now, so we got to be careful, Albert.
All right.
But that's why I'm pretty sure that John Edwards drank her 12-pack pretty. Because drunk guys will do stupid things.
True. Yeah, it's true.
Because I've seen the picture of the woman and, you know.
Don't.
Okay, thank you. Pull it away, because I'm about to go somewhere. I'm going to get in trouble.
No, but honestly, for real, you're a public figure. You can't get away with that crap.
No.
What's wrong with you?
The late, great Louis Grizzard, okay? Like I've said before, he was more of a right-winger than anything else. But, God, he was funny, and he had a lot of beautiful observations on human nature. And some of them, most of them were derived from his own empirically gathered evidence. And he said the first rule of cheating is, understand, rule one, you will get caught.
Mm-hmm.
You will get caught. Not may, but will.
You will get caught. And you will pay. And, you know, it's funny how you got that, you know, see, like, now, honestly, we shouldn't be talking about John Edwards other than, yep, you dumbass. Thank God we didn't pick you as president, because forget it. You would be done. The election would be over right now.
Yeah, and that's true. You got to wonder who dug on this so hard to make it happen, though. That's
true.
That is worth inquiry. How did this come up? Mm-hmm. Three, I am glad that he manned up over it. He certainly handled this a lot more manfully than John McCain has ever tried to handle the sleazy, tawdry, crappy, dirty, nasty, filthy, vile, pusillanimous way that he treated his first wife.
Good word, Bob. Good word.
Thank you. But that question can't be asked.
No.
This ought to be, you know, the John Edwards thing ought to be a door opener on John McCain. But no, that door is nailed shut, my brother. It is nailed shut.
Well, it's because it's a crypt, and you know how those old wood elk doors.
Ah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. With the gate that comes down.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, you had to be alive a long time ago to afford that one. But seriously, when, you know, we shouldn't even be talking about Edwards to a degree, because what we should be talking about, if you want to talk about, you know, because, you know, the scandals, I mean, yeah, once in a while it rains in the, on our side of the fence, and that's because our people like sex, but, and at least admit it, you know. Their people, however, are unbelievable. Did you hear about the latest guy, the Senate, state Senate dude from Missouri?
Yeah, we hit him at the top of the program.
What? Now, see, public figure, right? Now, here's the whole thing. I said that, and this is the first thing I thought of. Like, all right, man, 14 years old, you know, besides with that.
17.
Okay, so now, see, so 17, 18.
But it's still statutory rape, and the dude was still a certified foster parent for the state of Missouri.
Aren't they always? Isn't that like, I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, Boy Scouts. And
it reminds me of the right wing, I think South Dakota politician, or maybe Iowa, somewhere out there in the wilds of the Midwest, upper Midwest, who sexually abused his foster daughter by telling her that he was collecting eggs for egg donation. No, really.
That is an ability with the penis. That's an ability.
Man, if you can do that, you can probably tie shoelaces with it.
Get that boy offshore, because we need some oil now.
Because he can drill.
Oh, my goodness gracious. What the hell is this? All right, we need to get, next week needs to be a good week. All right, call Barack Obama this weekend. Have a little talk with him. Tell him to take a breath and relax. Come out and just come out swinging. He needs to come out swinging. He needs to come. He just needs to give, you know, a sweet Sugar Ray left hook and just, I mean, McCain, put McCain down, and he can retire in the hospital later on, like, was that Floyd or Hoyt or whoever he killed. This is just absurd. I'm sick of hearing this garbage. We really,
you know, you just took me to a new place, a new image for McCain, though.
Mm-hmm.
John McCain as Floyd the Barber. I think it works. There's real potential there.
He's just unbelievable. You know, he's even got less of a spine than Bush. And Bush ain't got no spine, you know that.
When you chastise the Chinese for human rights violations as an afterthought attached to the fact that you had to swing by Bangkok on the public dime on Air Force One, a 747, so that you could pick up 5 shirts for $150. I mean, is that me, or is that just really, really cheap and sleazy?
I just ate. So I can't even comment.
I think I'd think better of George Bush if he was stopping by Bangkok to pick up a couple of Thai hookers. But no, he wanted a couple of cheap dress shirts.
Like he couldn't get it mailed.
No.
He couldn't have had some little lackey, you know, get on a rickshaw and you know, like, there are certain things you would think.
I mean, Neil Bush has been to Thailand. Why not send Neil to Thailand to pick him up? I mean, when Neil Bush goes to Thailand, the hookers just show up at his door.
The same reason you don't cheat on your wife when you're a public figure, or you go with somebody who's under 18, because you can't afford it. You just can't afford to let Neil run around with her.
Well, okay, I'll give you that then.
Yeah, you know, you just can't afford these things, and just like we can't afford 4 more years of a Republican. You know, and we, I don't know, see, this is, I remember, this is your Babe Ruth's curse. We're going to call it the Bob Kincaid curse, because you laid it down and how you didn't want to take it, and this is where it's starting. It's starting to, you know, the sand is starting to accumulate on the ball here, and we're starting to lose momentum, and it's because people are, once again, they're getting, you know, lackadaisical and relaxed. And, you know, one of the things, you know, you may say about, you know, drowning the Republican, you know, he is going to fight very, very hard at the very last seconds. And they'll be kicking and screaming and scratching. And, you know, honestly, if you're going to commit murder, same thing, I guess, with anything else. And you know, not that we want to think like this, but if you're going to commit murder, don't do it half-assed.
No, and in fact, I was reading, rereading a wonderful, when I need something that's just purely entertainment reading, I'm prone to picking up the novels of Carl Hiaasen. I don't know if you know who he is. Great, great investigative reporter for the Miami Herald. But he writes these beautiful, beautiful, sort of crimey, culturally sleazy novels about life in Florida. And I'm reading one right now called Stormy Weather. And one of the ne'er-do-well characters is recalling that a buddy of his back in Stark Prison told him that murder and that where murder's concerned, getting rid of the body is just like buying real estate. Location, location, location.
Seriously, if they don't got no body, there is no crime. And real quick, speaking about bodies, that leads me into something we should get right back on. This is something we can't let slide, and that's Ron Suskind's, you know, journalism, speaking of journalism, was what he uncovered. And in regards to how Bush, and how we knew, well, we were right again, ding, gold star, Bob, go ahead. Gold and a blue. Because we were right yet once again.
Three cheers and a tiger for us.
Exactly. But honestly, we can't, you know, I mean, I've been trying to take a break from it, and I'm going to have to get right back into it and start, you know, pedaling on that wheel because, you know, everybody's legs count, and everybody, you know, we got to seriously work together on this one. We can't let this stuff fade out. We cannot let this, he knew, end of story. And I know we got outrage overload a lot of times, but... And I know it's tough to, you know, what do we focus on? Do we focus on this or do we focus on that? And honestly, everything, I don't think it's very easy.
Ron Suskind's book is getting buried.
Oh, yeah, and that's why we can't allow that. We just, you know, we seriously just cannot allow that. It's an outrage.
No, it is an outrage, but... There's a fatigue factor in the American people, Albert, that I don't know. And then there's an ignorance factor. There's people that just plain don't know about it. But there is a backlash out there, okay? They had a primary in Tennessee yesterday, all right?
Okay.
For the first time in more than four decades, an incumbent Tennessee congressman lost in the primary.
Really?
A guy named Representative David Davis. He lost out to the mayor of Johnson City, Tennessee. This is up East Tennessee. And he accused Mayor Phil Rowe accused Davis of selling out to big oil by accepting money from oil industry PACs. And he beat David Davis over the head, this nasty little pig licking. And this Davis guy was insane, okay? He picked up that right-wing canard of saying, well, the communist Chinese are drilling right off the Florida coast. He did that one. He was quoted as saying, well, there's more oil in Colorado than the entire nation of Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter was he was taking money from big oil and he got his ass handed to him for it, and it's cool.
Wow. I kind of fear that regarding Mr. Obama as well.
How so?
Well, he's taking money from big oil as well.
Yeah, but not to the degree that McCain has.
I hope so.
Well, no, I mean, the numbers are just there. I mean, I saw a story the other day. It was a CNN story that David in South Carolina had sent me. It was hilarious. It said, the headline said, McCain, Obama both take money from big oil.
Okay.
And then you get down into the small print, it's John McCain has received $453,000.
How much?
Barack Obama has received
$6,000. Ah, oh, okay. All right. That's better. All right.
But, of course, that's also instructional as to how it gets spun by the for-profit media. Wow, they both did it.
All right. That's what was said on NPR, and that's not supposed to be profit. So.
Well, just because they're not running ads. I mean, when they run those little announcements saying, brought to you by a generous grant from the Oh My God, What a Great Big Oil Company Foundation. you know, I mean, it means something. There's been a big check written.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, let's see what happens, and, you know. I mean, that's just one of those things. I mean, you know, you hear these things, and, you know, no matter how much you try to educate yourself or insulate yourself with education, you know, when, you know, you sit there and, you know, you hear the spin, and which is actually just the lies, you know.
Well, let me throw one at you, just rolling in from the email. Our pal Cindy out in the Great Northwest writes in and says, what angers me, you know what angers me? Toe-tapping Larry is still in the Senate, but Edward's political career is over? David Vitter's, never mind toe-tapping Larry, David Vitter is still in the Senate. This is a guy, I mean, you know, John Edwards had a hookup, okay? I mean, so he 12-packed her pretty, and he did something stupid that apparently his lovely wife has agreed to forgive him for. And, you know, having some family values and everything, they're keeping the marriage together and all of that stuff. And it was dealt with in, you know, 2006. Senator David Vitter's was hiring hookers. Not that there's anything wrong with hookers, because I'm kind of, you mind your business, I'll mind mine about that.
Yeah.
But on the relative scale of things, there's 12-pack hookup, and there's stone-cold sober, picked up a phone, and called and hired a hooker. I mean, now, see, that's kind of like saying McCain and Obama both take money from big oil, and it's $500,000 for McCain and it's $6,000 for Obama. You know, Senator Vitter's and former Senator Edwards, they both had illicit affairs.
Mm-hmm.
One was a one-night stand, and the other guy had the hooker on speed dial.
What about, you know, Bob, we still aren't hearing anything about Jeff Gannon.
Oh, dear God. Well, yeah, there's him too, huh?
I mean, if somebody was paying him to visit that White House after hours, and, you know, sure, we'll hear about Edwards, we'll hear about Bill Clinton again, we'll hear about whomever on the left. The only reason I bring this up is because I don't know what it would take. I mean, male hookers, male prostitutes. Okay?
Yeah, there's that. Right, yeah.
Yeah. Now, and to be a Republican with male prostitutes is...
I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. Just keep saying it over and over to yourself every time you see one of these, because that's what the right wing does. I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. It's okay if you're a Republican.
Yup. It can't stand. It just really can't.
I mean, Jesus, the people of Idaho... The people of Idaho will get out their pitchforks and torches and march on your home if you criticize the brand of ammunition they buy. But they can't find it in themselves to absolutely demand that Senator Toe Tap get the hell out of the Senate and quit embarrassing them. You figure it out.
You know, I'll tell you what, if you wanted to get rid of him, it wouldn't be hard, as long as you could just be some... He bangs queers, and you can just sit there and smear him on that, and yeah, that would work on him, but, you know, there ain't nobody, you know, that's a right-wing state. You know, Idaho's scary.
They make David Duke look liberal, I get it.
Oh boy. And, you know, it's also kind of crazy religious.
Well, our buddy David in South Carolina says, he was visiting some family at the nursing home, and he said, I was at the nursing home, and I heard a TV in the background, and CNN's Jeff Greenfield said, and he puts this in quotes, sometimes this stuff does just scorch its way into your cerebral cortex, and you come home with the quote still in your head, said, quote, this thing with Edwards really hurts the Democrats' chances in the fall. It may be hard for the Democrats to recover. And bless his heart, all David in South Carolina says is, I need my Elvis gun. Boy, go and get me the Elvis gun and a peanut butter and banana sandwich on toast. I'm going to shoot the TV again.
Oh. See, I already shot my TV, so it's, I'm glad. I just, that's just, you know, it's bullshit. That's all that is. I'm sorry, but I had to say that. That's what that word is. That's what this is. This is a train load of it. This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. People, man, this is judgment night. People need to get out and freaking, that's it. This is unbelievable. I'm going to be, if anybody's in Wisconsin, you're going to be hearing me on the phone. Oh, wait, it's the weekend. There's only folk music and story time. And that's all right sometimes, but, you know, it's awful. Talking about food. World's falling apart around our ears, and they're talking about what pie is the best. My cat wants to poop in the corner. What can I do? I don't know.
You know, I got 9 dozen more stories here that'll make the little hair stand up on the back of your neck.
I just can't take it. The cilia in my body will just reject it and stop moving because it's. I mean, I need some zen right now. I really do. I need some Tom Forte.
Zen. You know, that may be the next big drug out there, Xanax. You know, you pop the pill and it makes you want to go wash your rice bowls.
I'm halfway there, bud. I'm really halfway there. You know, it's like, you know, if you were the only one in a brave new world not on something, it'd be pretty damn boring and scary.
Well, if you're the only one in a brave new world who's not on something, then by definition, you're the one experiencing an altered reality.
Mm.
Ooh, chew on that one for a little bit.
Yeah. This is where I feel like I am in an altered reality.
Remember the Twilight Zone episode with the beautiful young woman who's so horrifying to everybody in the hospital?
Mm-hmm.
Because she's got a beautiful face and everybody else looks like pigs?
That's a childhood. I'm afraid of that from childhood. You shouldn't have brought that back up.
Sorry. That didn't do me any good either. I still have nightmares about William Shatner's black and white gremlins.
Oh, no.
And there's a reason I don't watch The Wizard of Oz. The flying monkeys scare the pee out of me, and here I am at the tender age of 45.
Yeah, just put Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon on and just...
I've done that, but it still doesn't help. I mean, when the monkeys come up, you know, with their little bellhop suits and the bat wings on the back, and but they're still monkeys.
They've never remade that movie. Can you believe that?
Well, they never remade it because it was a flop at the box office. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. You are not that culturally insensitive. They did remake that movie.
Yeah, no, they did, that's right. Oh, well, yeah.
Come on, The Wiz, please. You know, with Michael Jackson as Dorothy.
That's right. And Nell Carter was somebody. And
Diana was in it, but yeah.
Webster was in it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Took me a minute. Yeah, it was remade.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
With a hell of a lot better music, frankly.
I still shut the 80s out.
But neither film ever got to the core of what L. Frank Baum was getting about. There would not be any harm in a lot of people rereading The Wizard of Oz about right now.
I remember when I read that.
Because it's not about a cute little girl in a blue gingham dress and a white pinafore and her little puppy who go to Wonderland.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's really, really not. It's symbolism on a Lewis Carroll level.
Yeah, that's the main.
Oh, there's a reminder. Cthulhu in the chat room reminds us Nipsey Russell was the Tin Man. Yes, indeed. Well, Albert, how are you going to get through the weekend, my brother? I mean, there may be some furniture kicking going on, it sounds like.
You know what? There really is. I don't know what I'm going to do. I might just wax my car and inhale the fumes that come off of that and try to be... American.
Oh, man, you have gone way low when you're down to huffing the turtle wax.
Well, it's McGuire's. I don't know.
Oh, dude, that's some good McGuire's.
Oh, man, get me a bottle of McGuire's. But I might just have to get a case of PBR. Thankfully.
Was it as beautiful up there where you are as it was here today? Because it was just exquisite here this afternoon.
Gorgeous. just absolutely gorgeous, beautiful, wonderful day. And
see, I had to be dragged into the studio.
Yeah. Today was a magical day. It's been a nice summer, honestly. I mean, everybody can admit to that. It's been a pretty nice summer. I mean, there hasn't been any sunspots this summer, though, Bob. And so they're going to start talking about ice ages again. You watch. They're going to start talking about global.
We got that licked. I was talking with Ben Birch earlier, and he said another few weeks, and the Northwest Passage will be completely open from east to west.
Mm.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, the cold weather will just, all that will do is make, is yield my Brussels sprouts extra sweet and delicious.
Now we're taunting.
Hey, but you know what, Bob? I told you I don't know how many times in the early spring. Get out there and get a crush.
I know. Well, I tried to, but then everything went south.
That's what happened.
Yeah, you gotta pickle some of them. You gotta pickle some of them, Albert.
You send me on a recipe and I'll pickle them.
Oh, brother. Oh, my God. You know, just get a package of the kosher pickling mix and treat it, you know, you make it hot with the vinegar and stuff and you pack and you seal the jars and you put them away and it works with Brussels sprouts as well as it does with cucumbers.
Well, I'm growing. I'm also, well, awesome, because I'm also growing some habaneros. Maybe I'll put a slice in there just for.
Oh, you're a wild man. You're a wild man.
I'm going to send it to you. You let me know how to... Oh, you can't. You can't deal with the hot anymore. And Bob.
No, I can deal with the hot.
Oh, okay.
I can deal with the hot. No, we're finding out what the heck's wrong with me. No,
that's another thing we need to do. As soon as we find that out, we'll win the election.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm suffering from a very bad case of 45 right now. That's basically what it boils down to. I had an email a little bit ago saying, you know, Bob, I just checked back on my email, and you've been sick since March. No, I haven't really. I haven't been sick, per se. You have been solid sick since March. No, I haven't. But the thing is, I have led such a charmed existence in years previous to this that it is unusual for me to not feel good. And for me to have weird little pains jumping around in me is a new thing. And now we have finally found out, because we went through that whole thing of, oh, it's your gallbladder. Well, it wasn't my gallbladder. My gallbladder is fine. Oh, it's your liver. No, my liver's fine. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. And what it turns out is I've got a flipping birth defect. That has to do with the way that the intestines form in the womb. And it has to be surgically corrected, but the surgeon looked at me the other day and he said, I have no reason to believe that once we get done with this, everything's not going to be just happy again. Some people live with this condition all their lives and it never bothers them. Other people, it lights up for a while. He also confirmed, by the way, sorry, I'm not just, God, I feel like a really, really old person sitting around talking, oh, and then there's my bursitis. But he also confirmed for me that my take, and I did it on the air and I told people, my take on what caused, my insides to light up back in late May was spot on. And, because high triglycerides and high cholesterol will light your pancreas up like a Christmas tree. So, knock wood, cross fingers. It's looking like, you know, I'm going to wait a while yet, but it's looking like, I may get back to I'm going to get smart about my, I'm going to stay smart about my diet because I'm enjoying losing the weight.
True.
But a little spicy, a little this, a little of that. Mm-mm.
A little bacon.
Well, okay. Don't press it. But I'm not going to climb up on the cross if I happen to, find out that something had a gram of fat in it. I'm just going to be smart about it. You know, it's funny. I've been living on Campbell's soup for 2 months, and I was warned, oh, that stuff's got too much salt in it. I looked at my blood work recently. You know what I got? I got low sodium.
There you go.
that's kind of how it works out. So, no, I haven't been sick. for 5 months. Sick is when you've got a virus. Sick is when you've got a bacterial infection. Sick is, no, what I've been is, what we've had is medical confusion. And, you know, that can...
That'll kill you.
Well, that can prove, that can in this country prove lethal.
Yes.
But I think I've been lucky so far.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah, and I'm reminded by our buddy Cossack. Don't forget, Senator Vitter was into diapers and Cleveland steamers. And then there's Edwards, who's just into having sex with a woman when he's loaded and by himself. Yeah, and then Cossack says, oh, yeah, and Edwards is the fiend.
Yeah. Did he really say Cleveland steamers?
Yeah, he typed it. I said it.
Oh, I'm going to put my hand under the covers for an hour.
Go out and walk in the garden, crack open something wonderful and malty and fermented, and make it
happen.
And you know, that's Guy Calgon, okay? You know, Calgon, take me away?
Yes, indeed.
No, that's Guy Calgon.
I am going to heed that advice, because that's what I need to do.
I highly advise that you do.
I'm going to light a fire. I'm going to burn some of my wood. I'm going to stare at that. When that dies down, I'm going to look at the stars. I'm just going to take some deep breaths. And
that's exactly how it works, Albert.
There's got to be some sense out there. You know, sometimes, you know, I drive around with my brother, and I don't know if it's, you know, I don't know, nature and nurture, who knows. But, you know, there's certain things that just, it's just common sense, people. It's just common sense. And, you know, it's one of these things, you know, I was getting into some dirty looks today at the restaurant we went to with the kids and stuff, because my brother and I, we ain't talking about sports and, you know, nonsense like that. And, you know, we're talking about the adult sports, the politics, and we're sitting there rambling.
Yeah, the real blood sport.
Yeah, the blood sport, exactly, with, you know, all that jive. And, you know, we're sitting there dealing with that, and I don't care. If we're sitting there and you don't like what I'm saying, I'm just going to get even a little more. You know, I'm just going to not. The pins that I would usually keep in the grenade, now I'm going to take them out. Because
metaphorically speaking.
Metaphor of naturally, But, you know, sometimes they need to hear it. You know, they need to hear, like, dissent, and I don't care what it is, you know. I think sometimes those kinds of things make people talk about it. You could tell, you know, when you're saying something that you know later on, you know, somebody's going to be talking about that conversation later. And I really do love planting seeds like that. And, you know, so I don't know if I did any good about it. I did, you know, granted, I do, once again, I do live in a Shangri-La of sorts. And, you know, even though there are some McCain, I can't barely say his name without just projectile vomiting, but, hang on, I gotta keep it down, seriously. Anyway, I'm serious, not because it's not even so much that it's his name, right? And it's not even so much what a Q-tip the guy is. It's that I see this in some of the poorest neighborhoods in La Crosse. And it's like, you know, I almost literally just, I mean, gotta go up there and, hello, excuse me. You know, like, wake up now, people. You know, it's just, you know, and I think people are gonna usually wind up this whole defense angle, because it's really the only thing of that's any sort of footing in this swamp of election cycle this year. It's really all you got. I mean, this whole one served in the military and one didn't. You know, the Muslim crap ain't sticking, and all the other crap ain't sticking. So they're going to go with what the only thing they can go on, and McCain's going to become a hero, and that's what they're going to. So that's what we're going to have to wind up battling. And, you know, it's. If you ask me at the bar or in my driveway, if you ask me one of those kinds of, you know, questions, I'm going to give you straight up, you know, dropping napalm on villages does not equate war hero to me. I don't care.
No, and neither does crashing five jets, neither does nearly sinking the Forrestal. No.
No, it doesn't.
And I mean, but you know, you know what? I'll take all of that as given.
Yeah.
I do think it's a character issue when you get out of a prisoner of war camp and you come home and you dump the invalid wife that has waited for you to get out of the prisoner of war camp. I do think that is a reflection of character. I'm not one of these people that's going to say, well, you know, divorce is bad. You know, Jesus spoke against divorce, blah, 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 blah. No. Sometimes marriages don't work.
Yes.
But there are moments where what you do in a crisis is an absolutely rock-solid reflection on what kind of person you are. When Newt Gingrich walked into that hospital room where his wife was battling cancer and laying in the bed, and he dropped the service of process on her and said, honey, we're getting a divorce, that says that you don't have to talk about divorce. You don't have to talk about the right and wrong of divorce. Doing service of process on your wife when she's laying in bed battling cancer shows you that you are a sleazy, nasty, sorry POS. And the same thing goes for John McCain. All right?
Yep. That's right.
The woman waited for him. She was pretty enough for him to want her when he was a flyboy before he left for Vietnam. She was a model, after all. But he gets home to her after 5 years in a POW camp and no sex. And he gets home to her, and in the meantime, she's had a car wreck, and now one leg is shorter than the other, and she walks with a pronounced limp. And he sticks around for a little while, and then he says, honey, it ain't working out. I'll see you later. And 6 weeks later, he's married to Bimbo Cindy before he is even properly divorced from his first wife. Technically, John McCain committed bigamy, and I need the right-wing fundamentalist freaks to explain to me how that's all right. Sorry.
Yep. She's probably crying her eyes out thinking about him, stuck in this prison of war camp. She winds up getting into an accident. I mean, that's seriously. I mean, you know, I don't know how much lower people can get. I really don't. I don't understand it. I mean, you just got to be kidding me sometimes with this crap. Who taught you how to behave?
Yeah.
Well, what kind of way is that to behave? Like, you know, all right, she's dying of cancer. You don't want to be with her. That's fine. You know, at least wait till she dies.
Yeah.
Or something. You know, like, or I don't know. You know.
But no, I mean, that, do you see what I'm saying? It's not about the underlying legal process. It's about how you handle your very life itself.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, there's, you know, he wants to say, oh, I was in the military. I know about duty and honor and loyalty. Oh, really, John? Tell us about the first wife. Let's hear about the duty and the honor and the loyalty.
Loyalty. Yeah, loyalty.
See you later, honey.
Especially after how much loyalty.
Later, Chester.
How much loyalty did she show to him?
Bunch.
I mean, how many women would have done the same in her shoes? I mean...
Well, probably a whole lot, because in this country, had she done to him what he did to her, she would have been called a tramp, a trollop, a hussy, gold digger. Yeah, there's a million words the right wing likes to use, because the right wing especially hates women.
Well,
but he's got duty and country and honor and loyalty. Because he walked out on his wife when she was an invalid. She had 5 flipping surgeries and he dumped her.
Yeah, well, Ross Perot don't like him, and if Ross Perot don't like you, boy.
And that's why Ross Perot doesn't like him.
That's right. Well, Ross Perot paid his bills. If you really want to get into it, but I didn't know.
Ross Perot paid her medical bills, too.
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
you know?
Ross Perot paid the bills.
Yeah.
Exactly. Hey, Albert, I got to roll on, brother. Got them all backed up and blinking, but breathe. Yeah, you got to get a hold of Will Kimbrough's album so you can go to Horseshoe Lake with the rest of us.
I think I do.
You need that song.
All right,
talk to you later.
All right, man. Be good.
Bye now. Really, if you don't own Will Kimbrough's work and you don't have a copy of Horseshoe Lake, well, you're sort of outside the loop on this one, but it's the perfect. Oh, it's perfect. It's just perfect. I got to get to Horseshoe Lake. I want a little cabin at Horseshoe Lake. Hey, welcome to the program.
Kevin.
Hey, Kevin, what's up, brother?
Well, fine. Yeah, you know, it's so sad with
you know, John Edwards. It's like, but I know McCain is no angel, and I'm not talking about John McCain. I'm talking about Cindy McCain. I just know she's having an extramarital affair.
Okay, and I'm willing to go with you here.
Whatever, but I just know it. And it's going to leak.
That would be glorious. It would be, and you know what? There's been
justified after what he did to his first wife.
Oh, there would be the whole. It would close the whole Greek tragedy loop now, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah, but they're practically being separate lives as is.
Yeah, they are at what, six houses? God, you know, I mean, when you can't get away from your spouse in one, and you live in one mansion. But then again, you know, there's Flush Flimball. He can't stand human beings so much that he shares a 24,000 square foot mansion with a cat. So, you know, who am I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just know she's having an affair, and I still hope it.
Well, Lord, if you were married to John McCain, wouldn't you?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Because I mean, you know, he, without getting too graphic, he strikes me as a Hummer driver. Okay. I mean, he's one of those people that they're talking about, all these spams, that I get in my spam box. How can you satisfy her with that? I mean, we're talking, yeah, he's a Viagra spokesman, okay? He just is.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just know she's having an affair.
somebody get the private eye on her.
Oh, yeah. I hope it comes out. I really do hope it comes out.
But there's a deeper question here. Without going into the specifics of John Edwards or anybody fooling around, and I've been saying this since the Clinton years, okay? What in the hell does sex have to do with one's ability to do the job? I mean, if we were disqualifying every American man who's ever cheated on his wife, not to say that I'm excusing the conduct, but if we were to fire every American man who's cheated on his wife for cheating on his wife, American business would grind to a halt.
Exactly.
I mean, these stories come out, Kevin, and I'm not pointing at you, but generally the for-profit media more. They act like they've never heard of a fling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, it's so childish. It's very childlike, and you know what I honestly think happened. Really? Okay, but nobody wants to admit it, and it would be rather embarrassing towards the Edwards as a couple. She's suffering through cancer. She's not in the best physical form.
I didn't say any of that, but yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
You know, maybe, and you know, marriage is more to marriage than sex, you know?
Absolutely. Look at the French. And they halfway expect their political representatives to, I mean, you know, you're a well-to-do Frenchman. You've got a wife and you've got a mistress.
Yeah, well, that's why the French government is so much better run than on many levels. That's why they're more civilized.
And but they don't try to create some sort of false assumption that one's sexual doings have anything to do with one's competence to do one's job.
Exactly. Right? They may be even more competent.
There's every reason to believe it.
But it's just the double standard. And you pointed out, Newt Gingrich left his wife on her deathbed.
Yeah.
You know, and John McCain, you know, he left his wife after suffering all those surgeries.
Right.
He's no longer cute.
And that's the really sick part of it. She was no longer proper John McCain wife material.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And, you know, and God knows how many other Republicans are out there doing the, oh, that guy from New Orleans, from Louisiana.
Oh, Vitter? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sick and twisted.
Yeah, not to mention that Senator, the guy, Obama's opponent when he was running for senator.
Just
swinging.
Yeah, was taking his, wanting to, honey, can we go out tonight? Oh, what do you want to do, dear? You want to go to dinner and a movie? No, I want to take you and beat you in front of people for a while. You know, different, consenting adults, different strokes, different folks. You know, that's not my, you know, I got no opinion. But if we're gonna talk about one, I think we got to talk about all.
Oh yeah.
Personally, I would be happy with talk about none. Because I just don't see one's sexuality as being in any way relevant or probative of one's ability to do the job.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, you can see it plain as day, backing up by a week or so, Kevin. That's what the Britney Spears ad that McCain was running was about. You know, Obama's going to get our women. That's the subtext to it, plain and simple.
Oh, yeah.
And it's shameful, and it is an indication, I think, of how politically and socially and culturally underdeveloped, maldeveloped, and immature we are as a country. Because among other, you know, older civilizations have more, finely tuned mores for dealing with this kind of thing. You know, I mentioned the French. It ain't just the French.
It's the European countries in general.
Yeah.
We just have mistresses.
Sure. And why not? Because that's a matter for a man and a woman who are married, that's something for them to sort out. And frankly, anything that you try to sort out with the Klieg lights on you and the microphones and camera lenses in your face, you try to sort something out while that's going on, odds are the resolution you reach will be the wrong one. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
I just know Cindy's having an affair. I really do. And I, you know... Like you said, there's no way in hell.
Oh, yeah. If it ever comes out, I really, really want it to be an illegal immigrant pool boy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, if we're just going to put together the fantasy list, I mean, you know, please. Yeah. Or illegal immigrant pool girl. I mean, because
yeah.
I'm all for, yeah, sure. Yeah. We're pointing out just what we're doing here is pointing out exactly how shallow I am, Kevin.
Yeah. Because, you know, let's admit it, Cindy McCain for a one. Okay, now she's had a lot of help with surgery and all.
Oh, okay, we've got a disagreement here, Kevin.
Yeah.
I got an email in here saying, subject line, Cindy doing the pussycat stroll. I do not think Cindy is catting around on John. She gets high on plastic surgery, cross tops, and gourmet painkillers. She has a fine case of thousand-mile stare as I've ever seen. And to quote the drive-by truckers, she's so happy she don't need no effing orgasm. She's so happy she don't need no effing orgasm.
I can understand what that person is saying, but, you know, that person's ruining my high now. I'm sorry.
But you know, no, but really, really, in all seriousness, Cindy is a junkie. She really is.
Yeah.
Just like Rush Limbaugh is a junkie.
Yeah, well.
And junkies are not known for their high functioning libido.
Yeah, well.
They're happy with their junk.
Yeah.
So it's worth some thought. Kevin, good to hear from you.
Okay.
And a great weekend to you. Anything on tap for the weekend, or just relaxing from?
My neighbor is having a barbecue, so I'm going to be, you know, helping him out with that.
Absolutely. You know, with any luck at all, he'll need some help with some 12-inch brown glass long necks kind of thing.
Oh yeah, there's going to be a lot of that and a lot of cigar smoking. You know, I bought him a bottle of Maker's Mark.
Oh, you're a good friend.
Oh, well, yeah, you know. You know, it's not my cup of tea. I'm more of a O'Bain and Glenn Levitt, you know,
kind of guy.
You got, you, yeah, that's, you, I like your taste.
Yeah, but Maker's Mark is good.
You ever get into any of the McAllen?
The McAllen?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love McAllen.
Yeah, that's, that and Laphroaig are my two go-tos. So.
But, out of, like, all the North American whiskeys, I like Maker's Mark. And that's what I was told is his favorite, so.
Very good. You are a good friend. Well, enjoy it in moderation, and if you heft something up, think of me far, far away.
I will. I most definitely will.
All right. You take care, Kevin.
Okay.
Bye now, brother.
Bye.
And we move onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Preston.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. You know, talking about some, you know, fairly serious stuff, but, you know, just trying to lighten it up a little bit. It was too pretty a day to let right-wing insanity drive me completely into the dirt.
Yeah, yeah, I understand that, space. Sometimes it's fun to just get on my bike, you know, and cruise around. I'm thinking about putting a little bell on it because I ride on the sidewalks a lot.
Ding, 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 ding.
Exactly. And what else? I did want to chat about one serious thing, though.
Go right ahead.
I had mentioned a book last night called Democracy Incorporated, and how it, you know, there are elements of the population that are being mobilized in a reactionary way, an authoritarian way, you know, like the anti-immigrant movement and anti-Muslim and Arab, anti-gay, and so on and so forth.
Right.
But there's this other part of the population that gets demobilized, and they're just trying to push them off because they have so much power. They're trying to send them off in other directions. But I want to read something real quick about that book, if I may.
Please, go ahead.
Okay. The author's name is Wolin. So the description says, Wolin portrays a country where citizens are politically uninterested and submissive, and where elites are eager to keep them that way. At best, the nation has become a managed democracy where the public is shepherded, not sovereign. At worst, it is a place where corporate power no longer answers to state controls. Wolin makes clear that today's America is in no way morally or politically comparable to totalitarian states like Nazi Germany, yet he warns that unchecked economic power risks verging on total power and has its own unnerving pathologies. And he examines the myths and the myth-making that justify today's politics, the quest for an ever-expanding economy, and the perverse attractions of an endless war on terror. He argues passionately that democracy's best hope lies in citizens themselves learning anew to exercise power at the local level. So
that sounds like first and foremost a book worth earning or owning.
It does. It does. Democracy Incorporated. And so I actually just got off the phone with Jeff Farias.
Oh really? How's Jeff?
He seems good. I catch his show now and again, and
See, that's the sad thing. He and I are more or less on at the same time, and I've caught him once or twice. But I mean, I know he's very good at what he does, and I don't get to really appreciate his work.
You know, likewise, I'm usually have it put on the horn, and I do get to tune into Jeff, and I know there's that. I know what, like, people like Mike Malloy has been an ally. You know, so many times we see people on the left not getting along very well, and it's fun when there are those moments of solidarity, like when Mike Malloy mentioned your program during his show, and it's good to see that sort of collaboration and kind of cross-pollination.
Well, I've been such a fan of Malloy's. Let's put it this way. I found out about talk radio in, I can almost date it precisely, 1985. And I was I left the little station I was working at as a program director of a talk radio station, and went to work at CNN in 1986. And it was, you know, and Malloy was my joyous drive home at 10 p.m. every night in Atlanta. And I got to, I would listen to him when he was on the air at WSB. And, you know, that's very, I mean, that's almost the very beginning of his career. And I've tried to follow him ever since. And he's literally a hero to me.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody that I just admire so profoundly.
Yeah.
And I credited him early on when I decided to get back into radio, because I wasn't in radio that whole time. I dropped him a note and I just said, you know, I want to thank you for the inspiration you provided. I'm going to take a run at this. I'm going to see if I can do this. I'm going to see if it's true that you never forget how to ride a bicycle. And I'm going to get back behind the microphone.
Great.
And, you know, he wrote back and said, you know, best of luck. You know, hope it works out. Tell us what you're doing. Keep us up to date. And although we worked at CNN at the same time, we never met. And, but I've always considered him, just among the dearest of friends at a distance that one can have.
Yeah, and courageous, you know.
He's
certainly taken a lot of heat and, you know, felt the need to get a gun for his protection at one point. But he pressed on, worked on. And, you know, sometimes I talk about, anger issues and things like that. And Mike tends to be angrier than other people oftentimes on the radio, but it's almost like it's so appropriate. I mean,
that's exactly the point, Preston. It is not inappropriate anger. It is appropriate.
Yeah.
I mean, for instance, on the one hand, you've got some right winger out there screaming his fool head off about the war on Christmas, and you can hear the spit hitting the microphone.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, you know, going way, way back, the first time I ever heard about the School of the Americas, I heard about it from Mike Malloy.
Yep. I was going to bring that up as well. He's done very important work.
And, you know, he's gone and protested there.
Yep.
You know, he's walked the walk. And so, you know, I always get the idea listening to Mike that, you know, there's no shtick involved. When the veins start bulging on Mike Malloy's temples, you know that it's not method acting. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, well put. Jeff actually also alerted me to a movie. He apparently gets review copies of films coming out, and he just got a movie called The Killing of John Lennon.
Oh, I've heard of that. I have not seen it, but it is very well spoken of.
Okay. I remember another movie about Lennon called The United States versus John Lennon.
Yes.
And that was just, that's a phenomenal film. And and he and I were speaking about that a little bit. And apparently Lennon had like a 400-page FBI file. And, you know, there's something going on right now in the political discussion that I find kind of interesting. And that is Limbaugh and Hannity and some others are consistently using the word Messiah in referring to Obama in kind of a mockingly way. And, Martin Luther King and Malcolm X were also referred to as the Messiah, a threatening force that may become a Messiah. And, so I don't know. It's interesting to see.
Well, it's a little deeper than that. I'm sorry. I hate to keep interrupting you, Preston.
That's okay.
It's a little deeper than that, and it's proof positive that on our side of the debate and our side of the struggle, we still don't. I do. Not a lot of others do. Malloy's one who does. We still don't understand right-wing code.
Mm.
All right. The Obama Messiah business. Yeah. Some would take it as mocking, as denigrating, but there was a subtext to it that a lot of folks didn't get, and that is it was a message being sent to right-wing land that, in fact, Barack Obama might very well, because these people take this stuff seriously, Preston. They take it deadly seriously. It was a suggestion that Barack Obama might just be the Antichrist.
Yeah. Tom Hartman has been speaking about that, and he made some really good points. Kind of connecting it to that Left Behind series, which has sold
exactly, and that's
80 million copies,
and that's the code. And if you use the words, if you use the vocabulary out of that pre or post millennialist eschatology, you can get through, because there are people out there who can't do their local, and I'm not trying to be an elitist. There are people out there in Wingnut Land who cannot do their own little local paper's Sunday crossword puzzle, okay?
Yeah.
But they can discourse for hours on end on absolutely angels on a pinhead fine points of how we're going to know when Jesus comes back and how we're going to be able to identify the Antichrist.
Yep. There's someone I work with who said, months ago that she thought he was the Antichrist. And, it's effective stuff.
And see, when I hear that stuff, I don't laugh directly in people's faces, Preston, but I say, you know, I find it odd that you would say that, because Revelations chapter 13 says that he shall be wounded in the head and yet he shall survive. I don't know anything about Barack Obama having a head wound, but I do know I saw the photographs of George Bush when he passed out drunk and hit his coffee table and whacked the hell out of his noggin, and he had the big bandage on his head, and he survived.
Okay.
And then the fundy looks at me and goes, you think George Bush is the Antichrist? I said, well, he's behaved like it so far now, hasn't he? And because you're talking about something that they take very seriously, they can't just discount you.
Yeah, I mean, if Satan was the one that served power and privilege and sowed confusion in the world, you know, there's a lot of Satan worshipers in the plutocracy, you know. And
absolutely
disrespect for creation, that sort of thing, co-optation. Yeah. So it's interesting how the discussion is going, but there's another sort of discussion developing as well, growing, and you know, in those independent movies being tossed around, and I don't know, Air America continues to do a lot of good work, and 60 Minutes and Bill Moyers and Jim Hightower and Amy Goodman and so many others. So cumulatively, if we add it up, it's comparable.
But we're still, that's the sad thing, Preston. It's not comparable. We are still outgunned, especially on radio, but we are outgunned 10 hours to one.
On talk radio?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And then you've got the right-wing religious radio. If you add that in, I mean,
And that's how you get that, what, 2,570 hours for every hour of liberal talk. That's how you get that number. You roll all the right wingers together, and then you put the Hartmans and the Malloys and the Stephanies and the Randys and the Schultzes and you know, the rest of Air America, the rest of Nova M, our efforts here at the Horn. You put all that together, and you know, while we reach people and we reach them intelligently and cogently and passionately, there's only so much and so far we can go.
Yeah, we do have one kind of powerhouse in the media, and that's NPR, and it's a mix.
Yeah, it is a mixed bag. And the other thing is, I'm a little bit skeptical of that, Preston, because NPR is not largely opinion. NPR is, you know, like All Things Considered, Morning Edition, things like that. Those are news programs.
Yeah.
Now, you know, somebody like Terry Gross, okay, I'll grant you that. But there's a call-in program where people, ordinary people, get to speak their mind. There's not a whole lot of that on NPR, because I don't think NPR is necessarily comfortable with something like that. Preston, I hate to do it, but you guys, everybody's done it again. Wait till the last half hour of the program, and then blink up the lights. I think it's a form of torment. I do need to roll along.
Sure thing.
Don't be a stranger, and the Democracy Incorporated, I will try to get my hands on that.
Good. We'll pick it up next week.
All right. Take care, Preston, and a wonderful weekend to you.
You too.
Bye. And let's see who we've got here. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, greetings from glorious Middle Tennessee.
Well, hey, David, what's up?
Well, let's hit public radio first. So much of America hears only the top shows, Morning Edition, All Things Considered. there are two shows that if anyone has access to, either Talk of the Nation, and Talk of the Nation runs for 2 hours, and they do three subjects per hour, and they take call. The other show is On Point. The show is 2 hours, and they do one topic in the first hour, one topic in the second hour, and at least 30 minutes of each half hour is taking calls.
Now, see, I have heard that program. In fact, it was because I was driving down to Alabama one time, and I picked it up going through Nashville. So I imagine it's the same affiliate you listen to.
Luckily, my NPR outlet has an AM outlet, and they do long-form, more challenging programming, frankly. You know, everybody is interested in Morning Edition and the stuff in the afternoon and classical music. Okay, great. Well, that's what they put on the FM side. But some really, really challenging broadcasting shows up on this AM side. But now then, a significant heartfelt apology if this has already been covered. Unfortunately, I had been out of the house for a little while. Have you mentioned this wonderful triumph of Steve Cohen being?
I haven't touched it because, frankly, I know some about the subject, David, but I am, I hate to spout off on stuff I haven't read extensively, and two, when I saw the flyer that was being put out by his Democratic opponent in the primary, it was one of those throw things moments for me, frankly.
Well, let me do the bullet points, because I would suggest you, in your weekend, give this some thought as to covering a bit more, because there's one little thing at the end of it that just has me absolutely inflamed. First of all, Memphis politics is stranded in the 1960s, and it's the ugliest possible thing you can imagine. Memphis white power refused to do anything sensible in relating to the majority black population of Shelby County. And out of that, those black voters have some really challenging attitudes if viewed by the outside world. So, in the midst of this, the most progressive, heartfelt, good man going, Steve Cohen, this nerdy little Jewish guy that has lived there all his life, his family's been in Shelby County for four generations,
and has done a darn good job of proving his mettle in his first term in Congress, I might add.
Absolutely, and he is welcomed by, with the real arm around the shoulder by Barack Obama, and he's not black. He's not black, and a woman named Tinker and some very agitated, and I will say this as plainly as anyone wants to, because she has. She wants him out of office because he's white. And it's disgusting.
Well, am I mistaken, David, when I note, I mean, it was his doing, or her doing, rather. Did she not put out flyers that said Steve Cohen is a Jew and the Jews hate Christians?
She did, and she ran TV spots in that market that tried to tie him to the KKK. Now, how big an insult is that? Second only to blacks, the people that...
Yeah, because no Jews ever got lynched in the South. No, that didn't happen.
Yeah, right.
And those weren't Jewish kids in that earthen dam in Mississippi either.
Oh, G. Willikers could have been. I think, yeah, all right, you and I are on the same page. Now, here's the part of it that I think has national repercussions, has repercussions that run to the heart of the Democratic Party. Who is the main advisor? Who is the outspoken friend of and mentor of Ms. Tinker? Do you know the answer to that, Bob?
Would the answer to that be Harold Ford Jr.?
It would be, Bob, as he turned up on so goddamn many right-wing suck-up programs as to be disgusting. Why do we have this man in our hen house sucking eggs? Help me understand this, Bob.
Sure. Isn't he chairman of the DLC or something?
Oh, an organization you and I love to cuddle up to.
Yeah. And you know, there were never any misgivings when he was running against Bob Corker that he was going to be some liberal light riding out of West Tennessee to the United States Senate, but it was arguable that he would have been better than Corker.
He was going to be JFK with a tan, and I can say that based on 64 years of good race relations.
But the minute he did not win that race, and the minute that he was taken up, yea, verily, unto that high place, and he was offered the world and all its dominions, he took the DLC job, and he shows up on Fox. Bang.
Precisely. Oh, you guys didn't do enough to make sure I got what I think I deserve based on my desires? Well, I'll just show you. And as far as I'm concerned, there's a parallel track of these hilarians that are doing the same damn thing, talking this McCain crap, but especially Harold Ford acting and doing what he's done. His hand is on two-thirds of that Tinker woman's messages, and it is just making me crazy.
But Steve Cohen has survived that assault, right?
He got nearly 70% of the vote.
Because he just squeaked by last time.
He didn't squeak by this time. He kicked some serious butt, and she needs to be counseled out of politics for a while, except as relates to her franchise and pulling a few levers.
I think we've discussed it, and I'm running fast out of time. But Harold Ford's family is not known for its, shall we say,
no, it ain't
decorum or sense of a line.